The Bill Simmons Podcast is brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where you can find these guys. It's our Ringer Fantasy Football Show crew. You can find the fantasy guide is on theringer.com. Like, it's sort of technically on theringer.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantasyfootball.theringer.com.
It's a great product. I like it. We're doing this Yahoo Fantasy Draft on Monday, and you're banning... Are you banning laptops?
No technology. Pencils and
the
paper.
No technology draft. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So you have to print out stuff?
Yeah, I know.
Or if buy a magazine or something?
If you can find a printer somewhere in this world.
I really like... So are phones banned?
Yeah.
No phones.
No.
This was unilateral.
This
Craig.
Should give you an edge.
No, no, no. You don't
no, this is great.
Heifetz was in on it. Yeah. Yeah. For phones for emergencies only.
I mean, I was doing fantasy when we just had the USA Today, season leaders, yeah. And that would all be looked at. And I can't wait. So we're doing a Ringer draft on Monday, and you can watch it live on the Fantasy Football channel that these guys have. New Rewatchables is coming on Monday. We are doing Witness. It is movie number 399, which you can watch on the Ringer Movies YouTube channel as well. Coming up, we're doing the annual My Guy Fantasy Draft. 30 categories that went way too long, and insults were thrown around. Can't wait. We take a break, Pearl Jam, and then the draft. All right, we're taping this on a Thursday afternoon. I'm here with the Ringer Fantasy Football guys, Danny Heifetz, Danny Kelly, Craig Horlbeck, who's in my life with the Rewatchables as well. I think, what is this, fourth year we've done this or third?
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 At least third.
At least third, maybe fourth. It's an annual tradition, the My Guy Fantasy Football Draft. We have all these stupid categories. We draft different people. We try to make fun of as many people. I found I had less animosity toward fantasy football guys this year.
It's a really good top 30 this year.
Yeah, it's I was going through and I'm trying to find people I wanted to short or be against or be angry about. I don't know, Heifetz. I just felt kind of happy and blissful and liked everybody.
Are you just
am I just old?
More forgiving in your old age?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of grudges. There weren't, I saw Trevor Lawrence. That made me mad.
Yes.
But just for the most part, I wasn't angry at a lot of people. Kyle Pitts, obviously. But that's this ground that we've tread so many times. Who are the angry guys this year that I think are triggers for people?
I think the entire Miami Dolphins team, pretty frustrating group of guys.
Yeah, but isn't everybody kind of lived with that and
gone
through it and everybody's kind of given up on potentially not being disappointed by them?
I agree with you that there's not a lot of guys to hate this year. And I kind of think part of that is there was just a lot of good rookies and second year guys last year that broke out. There's just so much new talent. There's so much new stuff to get excited about.
Yeah, they're filling in
the gap. You can just scroll and be ooh, that guy. Ooh, Ladd McConkey. You just kind of a lot of people in the top 50 this year. So, but we'll see. There's guys
there's less old, kind of semi-washed up sort of guys, those Keenan Allen types. You usually have a ton of those. I'm not taking that guy.
Well,
that guy's done.
A lot of the bets from last year, Derrick Henry, is this going to work? He's washed. That worked. Saquon Barkley, is this going to work? That worked. So a lot of risky bets paid off. And so now those aren't things that people are thinking anymore.
I think Christian McCaffrey is the guy that comes to my mind where you're what the hell do I do with this guy?
Yeah, but that's turned into a game of chicken where people now are positioning it when they talk to other people about I wouldn't go near him, but meanwhile they're I'm definitely bidding.
Pushing him down, yeah.
It's a good point that you're making because, I mean, basically, happiness is just expectations minus reality. And I think to your point, if you take away McCaffrey, all these older players are – surpassing expectations now, what you think
the
for
Mike
30,
Evans
30,
types, yeah,
they just keep going. Derrick Henry had the quietest 2,000 yards from scrimmage ever, and he's 30 years old. And didn't even talk about it because Saquon did what he did after the running back narrative flipped and all these older guys performing. McCaffrey was the only guy who didn't. But then the rookies, the same thing. We heard all this hype. There's a lot of hype, except for Marvin Harrison Jr. All the other rookies hit the mark. And so I think that those two guys had the animosity. But everyone else actually really surpassed it. So we have this weird, I feel like this is an NBA thing too, where the older guys are hanging on. So you have younger guys seem more prepped. I guess the NBA, they're a little younger, but you have this thing where older guys are hanging on. So you still have Mike Evans. You still have Derrick Henry. You still have guys that Devontae Adams, who's 33, but getting $20 million a year.
But now you have Brian Thomas and Ladd McConkey and all these rookies that worked out immediately. So the the collection of good players is just bigger.
Yes, exactly.
But do you feel like part of it is this social media era where everybody, all the players can fire back at people and players have podcasts and I don't know, 30 years ago, we would have just been like, fuck Caleb Williams, he sucks.
I was going to bring up Caleb Williams. Actually,
yeah, but Caleb Williams, I feel like, would have been way more polarizing. Yeah. Where everybody's so glass half full on everybody now. It's like, Caleb Williams, I don't know, 4,000 yards, but maybe it'll turn. Maybe this will be the year there'll be a lot of disappointments. And then next year will be that I fucking hate that guy. I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah. I think we're in a weird era now, though. Like, there were literally AI videos about players that you don't know if this, like, Deebo Samuel, there was a video that literally made Deebo Samuel look fatter than he was just to get people, like, against him in Commander's practice.
Well, I don't,
like,
think we even know if that was AI.
Was
either.
It not?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Like, I think it was just a camera with a different lens.
Oh, I thought he was that chunky.
People apparently
were saying, back on my board. The problem is we're at a point where it's really difficult to find the answer to someone's, like, this Photoshop's AI, and we're like, oh, I don't even know how to check that. And like, Brock Bowers being bald, and like, someone just Photoshopped.
There will just be like a video of JJ McCarthy making some terrible pass, and then if you read the comments, everyone's like, that's Sam Howell
from last
year. Like, yeah, there's like these accounts that are like, you know,
Pickens thing.
These bots trying to take people down. It's kind of hard online now to decipher what's going on.
Yeah,
one of my friends sent me this AI thing of the sad me meme when I was sad at the Celtic game, And I'm sad, but then all of a sudden I get excited and start pumping my fist.
No way.
And it did an AI and it fucking freaked me out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's weird.
It was like happy me, but I had like big, like Al Pacino teeth in it. That was the only way you knew it was fake. But yeah, this is going to be the next 5 years of us trying to figure out what's real, what's not real.
A lot of propaganda in training camp now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's like, the other
thing. The online propaganda, it's just hard to know what's real and what's not.
Well, and we have these coaches that are really good at selling their...
Everyone's savvy now.
Everyone's mad at Sean Payton now that he's like talking up his team too much. Keeps talking about that on Ring
NFL.
He
compares every single player.
It's like Hall of Famers.
Like, he's like, this guy reminds me of Pat Bryant, reminds me of Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
RJ Harvey reminds me of Alvin Kamara.
Bo Nix
is like, Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Well, can you please come up with better comps, dude?
It makes it way harder to figure out that nobody believes in us team, which is actually not just big for futures and betting and picking stuff, but also for fantasy. Because, you know, you want to figure out, like, when we're going to talk about, like, we have all these categories. The team, you definitely want all the guys from. The team, you don't want all the guys from. But the sleeper team, sometimes, like Tampa last year, if you went in on them, you had Baker and you had Bucky Irving and you had receivers. Like, you were loaded up. What were we going to say?
I just think that nobody believes in his team is tough because, like, I forget which team coined that. Which team was the 2007 Giants, right? And so... I just think that was like, sorry, that was kind of a dickish, but
no, I was always earlier than that. I'm not giving them credit. Dicks.
But I think that it was like, there's just a different era of media. But I think now, basically, you're talking about adversity, and it used to be like Tom Brady would go home from practice or game and turn on ESPN. And now guys just look at their phones at their locker. So like they're in their mentions. So it's never been easier for individual players or teams to find things you have coaches printing out tweets people send. So it's like weird because it's, like Patrick Mahomes, like the Chiefs just went to 3 Super Bowls and and Patrick Mahomes is like finding stuff. Like even Steph Curry is like at halftime, I feel like checking his mentions and he's Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So I feel like everyone's just finding adversity.
I think you guys should have done that with the fantasy landscape. It's like nobody believed in us. Second biggest fantasy pod. People said we couldn't get here. Just start doing that.
When
constantly.
Our name was the Dynasty Football podcast, nobody believed.
No one believed because no if one you could Googled it, us. It wouldn't come up.
Yeah, they thought it was a typo.
Now Matthew Berry's calling us. All right, let's go through this because we have a lot of stuff to hit. We added categories this year. The most important category, though. We'll just go in order this way. So you go and everybody gets the pick and then we do the next one. Danny Kelly goes.
Sweet.
Hi, Fitz. My one true love. Who is it for you in 2025?
It's a little lame. I don't care. It's Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back for the Lions. And it's this simple. It's because I think that the conversation we were just having, there's just a lot of players you could take number one overall this year. And so I think that, frankly, there is an unusually high caliber of people you can get fourth. And I know that for you, that's a booger eater draft and you prefer auctions, but like none of my friends want to do it anymore. So if you just get the fourth pick this year, I've even seen the fifth pick and you end up with Jahmyr Gibbs. And you're like, I feel like in most years, Jahmyr Gibbs would be going first in a lot of recent drafts. And I just think he's the best running back in the league. If you want to do Bijan Robinson, that's cool too. But I love Gibbs and that kind of guy in the Lions offense and everything. And especially with that defense is probably going to be bad again. So he's going to get so many touches. And I just think it's such an unusual profile for a guy that's still ascending and getting better that it's just a crazy good player to get in basically the middle of the first round.
So you had him in the Ringer Fantasy Football Guide, a great product. $59 for him, number three player overall. You agree with that, Danny Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, I think right in that range. I don't think I would not look at you sideways if you pick him first.
Really?
A lot of people.
What scares me about him?
A lot of people.
Just skating where the puck's heading. It's just he next year, Bijan and Gibbs will be the top two picks. Like you would just.
You agree with that?
Yeah. I've never had Jahmyr Gibbs in a fantasy season, and every year I'm jealous of the guy who does.
He's just so explosive. I think obviously the question marks this year are, is the Lions offense going to take a huge step back with Ben Johnson gone? And I still think they have so much talent and, I don't know, institutional knowledge, I guess, in terms of how they want to run their offense. This new guy can probably, you know, make it a pretty good, like...
New guy. Doesn't even know his name.
Morton.
John Morton.
Worst offensive line and no Ben Johnson. Sign me up.
Panay Sewell is like the new Trent Williams, where his ability, they can pull Panay Sewell as a tackle on plays that usually you have to pull a guard because he's so fast he can get there, which is just a Trent Williams thing. So as long as Panay Sewell's there, they're able to do things in the run game that literally other teams are not able to do. They can try things no other team can do. And that is the kind of advantage that it doesn't necessarily leave.
That was a pretty boring pick because your cohorts all agreed with it and we can't even debate it. Something scares me about him from a durability standpoint.
Yeah.
Has he ever gotten? He hasn't gotten like 350 touches.
Well, he's kind of like the new Alvin Kamara a little bit in sense of just so efficient with his touches.
Yeah, yeah.
And he scores so many touchdowns, explosive player.
Big plays, yeah.
But when David Montgomery went down at the end of the season, Jahmyr Gibbs was just like the best player.
He had like 280 touches last year.
Okay. Who do you have, DK?
I might have one that's a little controversial, I guess, here. I got Brock Bowers for the Raiders. I think there's a lot of people that are worried right now in fantasy land because of the way that the Raiders are using him in the preseason, which I know sounds silly, but this does kind of move ADPs and create a level of concern with him because he's not playing as many snaps with the starters as I think you'd want. They have Michael Mayer playing a bunch and maybe they're not going to use him as a blocker, but I'm just like, I'm going to ignore all that. Bowers is just too good. I mean, if look at what he did as rookie, third in receptions, behind only Jamar Chase and Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has elite wide receiver numbers as a rookie tight end.
He had the most catches ever for a rookie in any position.
And this is the same guy who, like going back to his college, is a true freshman at Georgia. He led the Bulldogs in receiving on a team that had Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, George Pickens, James Cook, Darnell Washington, Jermaine Burton, Arian Smith, all draft picks, like super talented group. And he was by far the best. I think he's just a really good player. Craig and I kind of argued about him last year because there was a picture of him wearing like an Auto Trader t-shirt and he just looked like,
he looked like a software engineer.
Yeah, he looked like not athletic whatsoever. I was like, Craig, you got to go watch.
And then a photo came out of him bald, shaved. Everybody thought he had shaved his head. AI, not real.
Anyway,
out there.
I had him on one of my teams last year and it was glorious.
Yeah.
And then when you actually watch and there's less games in the late afternoon part of the schedule. Uh-huh. Eye test wise, he just like jumps out of the TV. Yeah. Like he'd make crazy catches in traffic.
Yeah.
Seemed just unstoppable.
Originally, I was kind of like, tight end in the first round. I don't love it. I do think I'm now starting to underrate Geno Smith being the quarterback. Right. Like we did this last year with Derrick Henry and the Ravens. We were like, oh, you know what? It's a different team. And now it looks so obvious. It's like, of course, the Ravens. Derrick Henry on the Titans, the lowest yards before contact. The Ravens had the highest yards after contact. Yeah. And it's like, of course it made sense. Saquon on the Eagles, we overthought that. I'm like, Brock Bowers going from Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew and Desmond Ridder to Geno Smith, and he did what he did last year with those three quarterbacks. I'm kind of like, man, I don't know. Maybe this guy should just be like the sixth pick in drafts.
Well, doesn't it come down to math? If he's 70 points higher than the next tight end or something crazy like that. I always think that way. I've gotten to the point with fantasy where I'm just like, can I just have one of the best QBs? And because they all get 50 to 70 points more than every other QB.
100%. Yeah.
With Bowers, if he's like a wide receiver 8 at tight end, I think that makes him first round value in a booger team.
Yeah.
The easiest way to win your league with like your friends, if they're not paying a ton of attention, is to just lock an elite quarterback, lock an elite tight end like Brock Bowers, get a running backs early and just win on receivers and running backs later in the draft. Like that's generally the easiest way to do it.
I'm in on that. And I think the Geno thing is the underrated piece of it. And I underrated with, I'm, Kick drove a couple standing mock things with the Raiders as a seventh seed just to see how it felt. Yeah. Just you know, I'm in the store, putting on the jacket, kind of walking around, looking in the mirror, see if it feels
safe. The floor associates like, you look great in that.
Did you see Pete Carroll in his starter jacket?
He looks great.
Man.
All the players, like Genty, Geno, Pete Carroll, everyone just looks great as a Raider.
Yeah.
Well, you think like...
It's cool when the Raiders are good.
It's the... Yes. And the Raiders have not been good while we've been
alive. As Craig knows, I invented the 3-3 out for the playoffs.
Right.
I sent you that. I don't know if I invented it or not. But I wrote about it in 2010. I was like, Craig, I invented this. Yeah, I'm just going to take credit for it.
You're like, sure.
I was like, well, if we're going by that classic thing where, you know, four teams stay in, three teams go out. And then he was like, I invented that.
I have no idea if I did, but I'm taking credit for
anything
it.
Anything else? Piano key necktie? Anything else?
The 3-3 out, the easiest thing to identify is like, did a team have a shitty quarterback and a shitty coach?
Yeah.
And do they now have a competent quarterback and a competent coach? They like fit the model for it.
Yeah.
And then you think like Bowers and Evgenti's good. They're going to be a bitch to play.
I mean, the Raiders didn't score any touchdowns last year. That was the only thing holding Bowers back. He had 5 touchdowns. And it's like, all right, if he is Geno Smith now, he's like probably going to have 8-10.
I love it. What do you have for my one true love?
I'm going with Drake London on the Falcons.
Wow, you've always liked him.
I like Drake London. I'm big on Atlanta this year. I think Penix is good. I think the offense is going to be one of those. I think like the Bucs last year, this is going to be an offense that you kind of want everybody on the team. I think Drake London's not that famous. He's a really cool name, but he's not that famous. I think he's like the cheapest guy you can get that could be the number one overall receiver in fantasy. Also, you just look on like FanDuel, he's 22-1 to lead the league in receiving touchdowns. I think he has as good a chance as anybody. When he played with Penix last year, 40% target share, first in the NFL, 117 yards per game, first in the NFL. He got 60% of the team's end zone targets last year, first in the NFL.
60.
I think it's a perfect storm of like, you have the gunslinger, even if Penix, worst case scenario to me, Penix is like Jameis. But for fantasy, that's all right. So if you have the gunslinging Penix, you have a year or two in a system of Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris. I thought they did a good job year one. Zach Robinson comes from the McVay world. He's like moving Drake London around. He's moving him in the slot. They're like scheming him open. And there's not like a true other alpha competition. There's like Darnell Mooney's good. You have Kyle Pitts. You have Bijan Robinson. But I just think it's all going to funnel to Drake London. He's going to have like a Mike Evans 15 touchdown season, I think.
I guess where I pause is you thinking Michael Penix is definitely good.
But he doesn't
have
to be good.
I'm not against it.
I just don't know. He just has to be a gunslinger, which I think we know
also,
he
is. Also,
is
he going
to
be healthy? How many times did he get hurt in college?
That's
that was the big reason why he fell in the draft.
Penix being the new quarterback. Yeah, he's like,
everyone's just penciling him in for 4,200 yards and 30 TDs. And it's like, how about... He's going to play 12 games?
What are you worried about? He only had 4 season-ending injuries in college.
Right. I don't know.
That's fair. Am I crazy, though, that, all right, their backup is Kirk Cousins, who maybe as a starter
That's a good point.
Not
that
a bad
Kirk
backup.
Was injured last year, but it would not be weird to think Kirk is better this year than last year because he's a year further removed from the Achilles. I think to your point, though, I think to kind of square what you guys are saying, because I don't think you're necessarily wrong. That Penix
I just
might
don't
not
know.
Be good.
I'm wide open on Penix. I don't know where it goes.
He may not be good enough to get Atlanta in the playoffs. But I think that one thing we know about Penix is he's going to throw deep down the field. Like Penix, frankly, in a league where everything we keep bitching about, everything's like neutered, all the passing, it's like the bumpers up on the bowling lane. Like no one pushes downfield anymore. Like Penix
is ripping it.
Penix is ripping passes.
Ripping rip.
Like the only people last year that were throwing the ball more than 10 yards downfield on average was Richardson, who got benched, and Penix. And like that's what we liked about Jameis. Like he's throwing so deep. And like that was him in college. He was just putting it up there for Roma Dunze and Jalen Polk, who
my guy
sucks.
Drake May is going to be like that too.
Michael Penix got Jalen Polk drafted by you guys in the second round.
Yeah.
Jalen Polk, is he going to make a team? Like that?
No,
that
he's
was
on
a Penix.
IR now.
Yeah, he's out for the season. Right?
He's out with a shoulder separation thing. And my buddy Hench texted, "This is the first separation he's had since he's been a Patriot."
That's good.
Tough one. Tough one for Polk.
Also, okay. Atlanta, fourth easiest schedule.
That's huge.
Shaky defense, looking, a lot of shootouts.
I was going through all my podcast notes last year to remember what happened last season because you just get amnesia when you're going through the season. Yeah. You forget 90 things. Atlanta was terrible last year. Remember they should have been like 3-12 at one point?
Well, Kirk.
And they won all these dumb games. They won that dumb, what was that, week 2 game against Philly?
Saquon dropped the ball.
Yeah. But they had like 5 of those.
Totally.
And we were like, how are they?
Yeah.
At one point, they were -400 to win the division, and they were awful.
Kirk was a mess. Kirk was like that last year with Ben Roethlisberger, where he was like just Adele, park and bark, couldn't move.
Right.
Yeah.
Kirk, it's weird because Kirk has always been this way. When you think of him as an average quarterback, he's actually incredibly streaky. extremely hot and cold. And he was very hot in the beginning. He was executing the offense really well. Yeah. But then he was the worst quarterback.
He was so bad.
Couldn't throw.
I have a lot of true loves this year. Okay. So I wanted to target one that I couldn't figure out another category. And I'm not just doing this because DK is here. Jackson Smith, the Jigba.
Yeah.
Who I had last year on one of my teams. And I thought for about 7 weeks, he was one of the five best receivers I was watching every week. He was open all the time. There was like no difference between him and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Hmm. He was fucking awesome. Every third down, it was 3rd-9, 3rd-10. Danny knows. And then at the end of the year, their offense died. And I'm not sure what happened to the offense. Remember they had that one, like they had the 6-3 game. Mm-hmm. The offensive line kind of died. The running back situation got weird. And the team just kind of cratered right at a point when it seemed they were going to win. And there was some Metcalf stuff. I just think this year he's by far the best receiver they have. I like the Seahawks in general. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's going to have a massive year. Like I think he can be in the top 6 or 7 for receivers. I just think he's 90 to 100 yards a game, steady, third downs, touchdowns. I'm in.
Yeah, he's as reliable as they come in terms of route running, hands, just body control. He adds a little bit run after the catch. He does remind me, I think I comped him to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Coming out,
he's just open all the
style.
Time.
Yeah.
Just coming across the middle, the out.
I remember just watching like the Ohio State Rose Bowl, I think it was versus Utah. I was very hungover on January 1st. And I remember, I think Jackson Smith and Jigba had 350 yeah. receiving yards in that game. And I remember thinking that he was like the best college game I'd ever seen by a player. And he's not quite that. But I think because he had a weird rookie year with Shane Waldron and everything, it's his actual level of talent has been really just straight up forgotten.
He basically took the Lockett spot halfway through the year. Mm-hmm. Lockett was the third receiver on that team. But we had him like in the Ringer Fantasy Football Guide right now. We have him 15th. We have him between T. Higgins and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, at the wide receiver position.
And I just think he's going to end up, like we have Puka 6, we have Neighbors 7, we have Thomas 8. I just think he's going to be in that neighborhood when the season's over.
You can kind of go both
ways.
That
is my guy.
You can do like the, it's his team now. Look what he did with DK Metcalf and Lockett last year. He was still great. Now you have like a better play caller, all this stuff. And then you can be like, oh, well, you're betting on Sam Darnold. This is a team that wants to run the ball. The defense is going to be awesome. Maybe they won't have to score that many points. Now there's only Jackson Smith and Jigba out there for defenses to focus on. You can kind of go both ways, but I do lean your way where I think he's going
to
be a good
the
pick.
The talent. Well, plus, I hesitate to do this to DK. What if Kupp is like pretty good this year?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's going to hurt JSN. Yeah. I
haven't thought about that.
But what really happened with him on the Rams was Puka was just like a younger, better version of Kupp.
Right.
And was just became Kupp on the team. And then it was like watching a shooting guard on an NBA team. And there's just a better shooting guard.
Yeah.
So I just wonder like how that, like I wrote him off. I was like, that guy, I wouldn't want to draft him, but they're, I don't know. He's in his early 30s.
I think.
Is it a wrap for him? They paid for him. Like he's going to contribute.
They gave him a good amount of money. I think it's a huge red flag that McVay was like,
yeah,
we don't want you anymore. But.
It is a red flag.
Well, here's what I'll say. I think Cooper Kupp is going to be on the team to play a couple roles. He's going to be their slot receiver, and he goes out and he can still block his ass off, and that really matters to them in terms of like the schematic advantages it brings when your receivers can block. It's like you can run so many more different plays in like 11 or 12 personnel or whatever, where the receivers are out there blocking too. It just gives you an advantage. But I also think if JSN, he's actually what I've heard is he's running around outside more. Mm. And kind of like not just stuck in the slot. He could have bigger plays in his future, and they're going to do a lot of play action. That's like a huge part of their offense. Think like Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave with the Saints last year when they were on the field together. It's like deep
Sounds
shots.
Great.
And obviously Sam Darnold, I mean, for all his flaws, mm-hmm. he will push the ball down the field. He's an aggressive downfield thrower, mm-hmm. and he's accurate downfield.
Well, so, and then the Valdez Scantling too in the Lockett spot, just running like straight lines.
He's just clear out routes. Yeah.
And did you buy Horton stock?
I'm buying Horton stock. Okay. I think he's going to be
I think
number
the Seahawks are going to be good. Yeah. Let's take a break. We are on a terrible pace. We're going to come back with my crazy done. Pills guy. All right, Danny, your crazy pills guy. The guy you're looking at that you don't understand why everybody else doesn't see it the way you see it.
I don't understand why T. Higgins is so low everywhere. And I'm probably part of the problem. I don't know if I have him high enough, but.
You have him 14th.
I think we're too low on T. Higgins. Last year, he was wide receiver 4 in points per game. He did miss like five games because of hamstring injuries, I believe. Mm-hmm. But again, he averaged 15 and a half points per game. He's in the perfect environment in Cincinnati with a pass first team. They're very pass first, pass heavy. Joe Burrow loves to pass the ball down the field. Trust him incredibly in the red zone. They're just going to go out there. In terms of fantasy, the Bengals offense is pure sex. It's exactly what you want. They're going to play fast. They're going to push the ball down the field. They're going to score a ton of points. Joe Burrow passes to his receivers inside the 5 and 10 yard line a lot. Like they will throw a lot of passing touchdowns because he just trusts them. It's kind of like the old Aaron Rodgers thing. It's like, trust him to make the calls in certain areas where they're just like audibling. You got a one-on-one matchup, I'm going to throw it up to you. And T. Higgins, that's like his game. He's just so big and tall. It's like, you know, George Pickens, but more reliable.
You know why he had him 14th? Because like, played 12 games the last 2 years.
Yeah, he gets banged up.
That's the thing. It's the
656 yards in 23 and 911 yards last year. He's only had 10 touchdowns once. He is like a little more theoretical than I think people realize because you catch him on the right day, you're like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. The stat, but he does get hurt every year.
The thing DK keeps dropping on me that always blows my mind is in the games that T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase both played, that T. Higgins got more targets like, than Ja'Marr Chase did.
They're like the best passing offense in, since the
Niners. I think he's the perfect combination of floor and ceiling at receiver for where you're getting him because he's going to give you a good floor. There's only one season he's had where he averaged less than 10 points per game. And that was 9.7. So he's like that floor is solid. He's not going to kill you. And he also has the higher end upside where if, you know, things go similar with the Bengals offense this year as they did last year, he might be a top five receiver in the NFL.
I like it. Who do you got, Craig?
Tyreek Hill.
Whoa. Oh, my Lord.
I'm willing to embrace the crazy this year with Tyreek.
Wow.
I don't get it. Last year, Tyreek Hill had 1,800 yards.
2 years ago.
Sorry,
Now you're gaslighting
the last, not this year we just watched. Right. 2023 at 1,800 yards. He was the number one wide receiver in fantasy. He was 29 years old. He had one bad year where he hurt his wrist in August. Tua missed half the season. And it was a down year.
He tried to quit at the end of the season.
He played 17 games. and now he started.
16 and a half, kind of bench himself at halftime.
Now, so he was going literally second in drafts last year. Second overall out of every player is going number two. Now he's going 28th. And I'm like, whatever. The Dolphins are a mess. I'm willing to like buy all that. The vibes are bad. Tyreek's talking shit about Mike McDaniel. I'm getting Tyreek Hill at the end of the third round. If you just believe that he's not washed, guys, best pick in drafts.
I've just been down this road too many times in fantasy football. 4 decades of experience now. Usually when it goes south, it doesn't come back with the receivers.
That's fair. Yes. However,
if you really did like a Sloan Conference research paper on this.
Like, this guy, Adam Harstad, did a study on this and like it's totally.
When it craters, it's never like back the other way.
But it cratered half because he had a ligament injury in his wrist in August and Tua, his quarterback, missed half the year.
Well, the good thing is he's a reliable health bet this year.
Again,
it's all a parlay. It's a parlay to be like Tyreek and Tua both.
Listen, this is why he's your crazy pills
guy. Yeah, I'm just like, this guy's going 28th overall. I get Tyreek Hill. I think this was going to happen. We always talk about like the week one test.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's Sunday at 11:25 a.m. and Tyreek Hill has two catches for 95 yards and a touchdown already. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
He's back.
Because like to your point, dude, Bill Barnwell had one of the craziest stats I've ever read about Tyreek Hill's 2023 season, which was that. The Dolphins actually had like almost the fewest passes in the NFL in the second half that year.
Because they were leading games, right?
Yeah, because they were winning. So they didn't throw that much in the second half. But the point was, if Tyreek Hill had his 4.0 yards per route run, if he had had as many routes as Calvin Johnson did the year he set the single season receiving mark, which was 1,900 yards, Tyreek Hill would have had 3,000 yards at the rate he was going.
I'm kind of like, just like, we had one down year and the team was a mess. I don't know if he's just physically washed. I'm getting him at the end of the third round.
I'm not paying for him, but if he's sitting there staring at me in round seven.
I don't disagree with what, like, it's hard to refute what you're saying, where you're like, he could be a good pick. I'm like, I don't know how I can argue against that.
Mine's a little happier. My crazy pill guy is on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a rookie receiver named Emeka Egbuka.
Yeah.
This just happens every year, and I'm tired of... I had Brian Thomas Jr. in the... Michael Thomas. Thank God didn't have him. I had Brian Thomas last year, and it was great. And he just got better as the year along and was just clearly one of the 10 best guys by the end of the thing. This guy checks all the boxes for me. Like, he fell too far in the draft. He's going to a team that he's perfect for. They've already had receiver injuries. Godwin's not coming back till October. McMillan's out for at least half the season. I bet when I was in Boston, I bet, and I never bet on player over-unders because I just feel like it's stupid. You always want to go over injuries. His over-under for receiving yards was 675. And I was like, I'm betting this. Like, I can't believe this should be like in the 900s. I look today, it's now 825. It's really? 150 yards. And I think it should go higher.
Yeah.
You wait another week, you'd probably get it at nine. You just middle it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I love reading the quotes going back to Danny's guy, Russell Wilson, in 2012. When the teammates and coaches, when it gets to a level of rave, you just know. And it was the case with Thomas last year in Jacksonville. That whole training camp preseason, they were like, this guy's got it. This guy's fucking special. And that's what they're saying about Igbuka. And I just feel like you have him 44th in our fantasy draft guide. He's going to be in the top 12 by the end of the year, my prediction. Yeah. Maybe I'm taking crazy pills.
Bill, regarding your bet that you made, you know who had around the same yards? What was it? What was it?
675? It was 675.
Ray McLeod had 686 yards last year. Like,
right.
Wandell Robinson had 700 yards.
675 is like 50 yards a game. You got it.
Quentin Johnson had more than 700 yards.
Who do you have for your crazy pill guy?
Oh, Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback. Jalen Hurts, he's ranked further back than Lamar Jackson. Like, whatever platform you want to look at, it's generally like Josh Allen, Lamar, like 24th, 25th. Jalen Hurts is like 37th on Yahoo, 38th on Sleeper. Like, that's next to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts is ranked like they banned the tush push. And they didn't. And I actually don't understand because people are caught up in like, oh, well, is his ceiling as high as Josh Allen? I don't care. There is a play that the NFL, the other 31 teams want to ban because it's too easy for Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
It is literally literally without exaggeration, I think Jalen Hurts is probably in the 21st century at quarterback, the most reliable week-to-week player there's ever been.
He doesn't have down weeks.
He doesn't have down weeks. Even Josh Allen has a few stinkers. He's been number one on this season. Hurts misses some games. When he plays, Jalen Hurts is the best player in fantasy and the most predictable player. The whole problem in fantasy football is hard to predict. He is the single easiest player to predict in the entire league at any position. And you're going to get him. So this is honestly, he's kind of my one true love too, in a way. Maybe Gibbs is lame. Hurts, if you get Jalen Hurts in the fourth round, I think that is the single best pick you can make in fantasy football this year because you're going to get a guy who is going to have more 30-point weeks than single digits. You're just, absolutely.
I think there'll be those games where he's just 9-for-17 for 112 yards and rushes for 50 yards and a TD, and you just look at it and you're like, but then he has 27 points somehow. And you're like, hey, it didn't even look like he had a good game.
That's Jalen Hurts has played 50 games that matter in the last 5 years. He has 50 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
He has.
I'm with you. He's a great guy to have.
Yeah. What I love about him, and we talked, I think a couple years ago, we were talking about how he's the greatest fourth quarter fantasy quarterback of all time. Because if the Eagles are trailing and they're trying to come back in the fourth quarter, he's running around a ton. He's passing it. You know, so he is game script proof too, you know, because he's either going to be scoring rushing touchdowns early in the game and they're going to be like icing the game later, or they're going to have to, you know, last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, he's going to score 15 fantasy points because he's running all around and doing everything. So it's just, he's so consistent week in and week out.
It's great. I would still rather have a few other guys, but if it's the fifth best guy and you're not paying that much for him. You're up with a new category.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely hate myself for doing this guy.
George Pickens, but I'm in. I'm going to do it.
George Pickens.
Yeah. I'm buying Dallas. I think Dallas is the off-brand Bengals this year. I need
some oxygen.
I think Dak and CeeDee and Pickens are like Burrow and Chase
and Bob
and Higgins.
They're the guy from the stands. Who's their starting receiver, running back?
Whatever.
Chase Brown? Who's the starting running back?
Chase Brown.
Who's for the
Cowboys?
Oh, no,
you're talking about Javonte Williams.
Jaden Blue.
He looked great last year.
Who cares? That means he'll throw it more.
Or Miles Sanders.
I think he's dead on that they're the off-brand Bengals because they're the same team. They have horrible defenses. Their offense is built around a quarterback who's doing a Peyton Manning.
Discount Bengals?
Yeah, they're 100%. Doing Peyton Manning cosplay with these two top receivers.
Yeah, it's like, I think Dak could lead the league in passing.
Schottenheimer, let him cook.
Yeah, everyone talks about the Bengals last year. Oh, how many points he scored. How electric they were. The 2023 Cowboys scored more points than the 2024 Bengals.
I like it. I would never take him. I think it's more likely he's off the team in week 8 and something horrible happens.
Certainly a risk.
Sounds like you don't like it.
Ever since that game when it was the last play of the game against Cleveland and he got in the fight during on the Hail Mary. Mary.
Before the Hail Mary.
That's because he only cares about fantasy football.
I actually completely out on Pickens.
I came away more impressed with Pickens.
That was nuts.
That was cool.
My guy, I wanted to shout out Keon Coleman because I think he's going to rope me in, but I don't want to pick him.
That's a good one.
He's just getting too much buzz, and it feels like, $33. And then you're like, what did I do? But it's definitely Travis Hunter for me. I was like, I'm staying away. No. I'm not even I'm not even shopping in your grocery store. I'm not even getting a cart and pushing around. I don't want to know. I don't want to think about it. And then I read this one thing about how Liam Cohen is like, he's just going to be two bubble screens a game trying to bust him for 50 yards a pop. And I was like, oh, like,
caught the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, it's just, it's, oh, what do you mean? He just bust one at any time?
Whoa. Just about doing phrasing.
Yeah, sorry. I was really worried about the defense offense thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody trying to play 1,000 snaps or whatever on both sides seems inconceivable with how fucking big football players are in the NFL.
Right. And he's not big.
But I feel like he's going to be sitting there and I'm going to get excited about it and I'm going to hate myself for doing it.
We just had a massive argument about this on our podcast.
Bill, I need some like therapy life advice thing. I think I was the single biggest Travis Hunter fan in sports media. My crazy pills thing on the draft was basically just, I was just like, why do we talk about the ceiling of every prospect? No one ever admits that all these guys are probably going to have an average outcome between whatever.
Yeah.
And the only person we won't talk about ceiling is Travis Hunter, who won the award for best receiver in college football, best defensive player in college football. And I'm like, what if he just does both at a great level in the NFL? Everyone's acting like it won't happen or can't happen. It's impossible.
Yeah, you're like, he could be Shohei Ohtani.
I've been talking about this all year. I was like, yeah, he's like Ohtani.
Yeah, what
if
he's just 4 catches for 80 yards a week and he scores every other week and he's just doing that on the side as he's covering the other team's best receiver?
Jim Thorpe. And I'm like, he could win offensive rookie, defensive rookie of the year. Could do amazing. And I'm not going to lie. I capitulated 20 minutes before he walked in the studio. I admitted to them. I was
for
like,
six
on,
months,
he's on our show.
Nonstop. Travis Hunter is going to blow everyone's mind. He's the best player since whoever.
You give up?
Today, he was like, I don't know.
You chickened out.
I sold low. I saw him playing the preseason game.
I called
him
a pansy for it. It's a weak move. You should have doubled down. Stick with your guns.
I should have.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that like, I
need the strength to stay away.
I'm worried that like the meetings, he's going to fall behind and stuff and they're just going to play him at like, it's going to be really frustrating. It's going to be cool on the field, but like for your lineup, it's going to be kind of like annoying.
I'm nervous. It could be cooler in real life than in fantasy. It's like, okay, he plays double the snaps. You don't get double the fantasy
boys. The Jags play the Bengals in week 4 or 5 and you're like, so do I bench him because he's going to have to cover T. Higgins? And you're like, I've never asked that question before. So it will be a new experience, I guess.
Well, it's like, you never want to have the first of anything.
Right.
You never want, like, you don't have the first iPhone. It's like, oh, it's not going to work. 19 things are going wrong.
Too many
bugs. First iPad, the first, like, car that has gas and electricity. Yeah, and it's like a hybrid. And it's like, oh, it's in the shop. So maybe wait a year for Hunter.
I think
if he's sitting there, I still feel like
I get it.
Yeah.
Who do you have, Heifetz?
I hate myself for doing this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the easiest category. It's Kyle Pitts. Falcons.
He's back.
See, he's almost honorary. Yeah, he's like grandfathered in.
Best situation Kyle Pitts has ever been in. Cheapest he's ever been. It's that simple. Like
I will never do it.
When
he
had
Marcus, $0.
He was a fourth round player. Marcus Mariota was his quarterback. We ranked him in the fourth round. Michael Penix, the last quarterback throwing 10 yards a throw, is his quarterback. He's a 14th round pick on ESPN. I mean, he's going near Hunter Henry. And I'm like, Kyle Pitts, everything we've ever said about his upside remains true. I'm just saying, he's been not met expectations.
The problem
Penix
is he's
the best
not
guy.
That good.
But Penix,
like, when you watch the
throw.
Falcons, he's not like a tight end like Bowers or Kittle. Like, he can't really block. So he's basically a wide receiver. And he's not as good as the other wide receivers on the Falcons.
I guess
I don't know what he
Ray
is.
Ray McCloud.
He's a vertical receiver. And I'm not even saying he's necessarily going to be ever what we thought he'd be. I'm just saying Michael Penix made Jalen Polk an early second round pick, and Jalen Polk
Thanks
will probably never. I'm
sorry.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Penix made Polk. He made all these guys.
DK, who do you have?
I have, and I do hate myself for doing this, Kyler Murray for the Cardinals. Fantasy point of view, remember that rushing is an absolute cheat code.
Two years removed from the ACL. Did you fall for that one?
Yeah. Look, he's another guy that. The way that I talk myself into it is he's a high floor, high ceiling guy. And those are the types of players I want to go after in fantasy because he's not going to fail you. The worst average he's had in points per game last year is 17 and a half. That was last year.
He's just going to fail the real life team, but like the fantasy team.
I don't care. This is the
Justin Fields. He's a high ceiling, low floor, unless you're trying to win NFL games with them.
I'm fine with that.
And then he's a low ceiling.
It's actually probably better if they're losing, because then in the fourth quarter, they're running around.
I actually want him to be bad.
Yeah. He's to me, he has shades of Ben Simmons to me, Kyler Murray.
Okay, can I talk about fantasy, though, maybe? Yeah. Because that's what we're talking about here. It's important. He's the quarterback 8 in the last 4 years, almost 19 points per game. Going back to 2020, when he ran a bunch, he averaged almost 10 points per game as a runner only. The last 4 years, it's been like 5. And there's been a lot of talk in this training camp that I feel like it's a lot of these, dual threat quarterbacks kind of trying, because they know long term, I need to stick in the pocket and just like pass and be that. I think Kyler's kind of at a turning point now where he's like, actually, my running really makes me a lot better and I probably should embrace it more. And there's been talk that they're working him into the designed run game a little bit more in preseason. So I'm just, if he doesn't do it, that's great. He's going to be like a top 12 quarterback probably. If he does run a bunch this year, he'll be top 5.
Listen, he makes sense in this category as well. So. we have the I'm staying away from that whole team category. And I guess the nominees are Cleveland, New Orleans, Miami, and Carolina. So
I vote Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
I have Pittsburgh.
Oh, fuck off. What are you talking about? You don't want anybody on the Steelers. You wouldn't even accept DK Metcalf on your team.
I mean, I love DK, but no.
Okay.
So I had Cleveland's the obvious pick.
Yeah.
I do think there's a Judy. Like, he was huge last year for them, right? Yeah.
Jameis was playing. It's Jameis.
Judy had huge stats.
Yeah.
No, Jameis
literally, Jerry Judy had yards per route run, yards per game, whatever metric you want to use. Every game of Jameis was more than double his career average.
Right.
And then when Jameis didn't play, it went right back.
I had New Orleans written down.
For sure.
Wouldn't feel great about really anything involved in that team. And I had Miami written down just because that feels like that you'll actually spend money on some of the guys in that team and it'll feel worse.
I'm surprised you had Carolina. Carolina is like my sneaky, truly out of nowhere team for this
Carolina
year.
Just had a habit.
Yeah.
Because Chuba Hubbard was actually good last year. Yeah, I like Coker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm kind of sneaky high on Carolina this year.
The only other one I thought of was Pittsburgh, which I was glad you brought up. Because I don't like having DK Metcalf on my team because he's feast or famine. You never know what's going to happen with him. I wouldn't want any receiver. There's no way I'm – or running back. No way I'm taking Rodgers. I do like Freiermuth, though.
I would like
Freiermuth a little bit. All right, next category. Heifetz, you're up. Oh, no, this is a group category. It's the our Kumail Nanjiani. Why the fuck did you bulk up? Like, this is actually ridiculous. What are you doing, guy? And we all have Marvin Harrison. So do your rant about
it. So Marvin Harrison Jr. obviously had a disappointing rookie year.
To say the least, I
still maintain that if his name had not been Marvin Harrison Jr., if it had been like Dave Harrison, son of Marvin, Malik Nabers would have gone over him. But it was hard for anyone to say Marvin Harrison Jr. So he's drafted and has this point of year, and he comes in this year and he's absolutely ripped. He's got the huge biceps. Like, he's added, 10 pounds of muscle? Which, when you're an NFL elite athlete, that's a lot of weight to add. And I'm like, you're a wide receiver. Why are you having big biceps? Why are you getting your arms larger?
Nobody was ever like, you know what Marvin Harrison Jr. needs? 10 more pounds of muscle. No. That's what he was missing.
It's like, why is he not getting fast? I don't like armchair psychologist. I don't like that he came into year two and was like, I'm going to look better in the mirror. Like that. I don't know if the muscles he's added are necessarily like the most
functional. I need to get off the line better. I remember David Boston way back on Arizona. Just got really jacked, but he had a couple years where he was like one of the 8 or 9 best fantasy receivers. And then he just got too big.
Yeah.
And it was like his career was over.
It's like a desperation move. It's like getting out of a breakup and you just like get ripped.
Maybe was that like, was like he was disappointed with his rookie
like
year.
Sacha
and he
Baron
just,
Cohen?
He just, he's
what,
just.
Like, what is that? Is that for a movie? What is that for? Why does he look like
I mean,
that?
He's my age.
He yeah, looks for a
have
movie.
Have you seen what Sacha Baron Cohen
no,
is?
No, is he like ripped now?
Oh my God.
He's Sacha ripped Baron with like Cohen? Shaved body.
Yeah. He looks
that
like,
would have been a good
oh
fantasy
my God.
Punishment. You have to wear the Borat bathing suit.
Oh my God.
I have a question because I thought about this.
I know.
It's like a Mac from It's Always Sunny. Yeah. He's getting ripped.
Can you think of a single time, any skill position, where a guy got bigger over the offseason and that was a good thing? I'm sure it happened, but I really honestly can't think of one.
It's way more in the other direction of older guys losing weight Yeah. And then they
trying
to keep your knees.
I was trying to think of like LeBron, a tight end, maybe.
LeBron has lost weight throughout his career, right?
He's that's all older athletes have to cut muscle eventually for your joints. Yeah. But
like, you're right. That's what I do. You have to get muscle.
He's young enough, like you do have to get larger. Like you do grow into your frame. But I just feel like, frankly, maybe, I mean, here I am criticizing an NFL athlete, but I'm just like, I just kind of think.
Too ripped.
Yeah, I know, just Cheeto dust all over me. But I'm just kind of like, you know what? I just think he was, he read all the comments and he was kind of embarrassed that he had a bad year. And everyone else, he was like the sixth best rookie receiver in his class. And I think he was embarrassed. So he got really ripped.
Give us your shameless homer pick.
So what is this category? Do you want me to talk about
he's
Malik
just
Nabers?
One giant that you're the
is
most.
It like, is it like a diamond in the rough or yeah. is it like no, a, just, like the best player on the team?
Just a guy that is on your team. That is being discussed as a fantasy guy anyway, but you're even higher on him than you should be just because he's on your team.
So Nabers is the obvious pick. I will just reiterate that Malik Nabers really was leaned on by the Giants more to start his career last year than any
player
ever.
And the more fun pick would be Jackson Dart.
Well, that's exactly. So Nabers is easy.
Week six.
Dart, I think you, I like Dart. You don't have to hold Dart the whole year because he's not going to play for 2 months. I will say Cam Scadaboo. Cam Scadaboo, the running back, I am in love with him. He just came back to practice today.
I wanted him on the pass.
Scadaboo is the, I freaked out when they took him in the fourth round. And Scadaboo.
You were always on him too.
I
you
love
liked him Scadaboo. In the draft. Yeah.
Yes. And he was the only player to have like 1,600 rushing yards and 500 receiving a season since McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And I just, frankly, he's slow and we're by, I mean, it's just overlapping stuff of.
Feels like a cult hero. In the
yeah,
Giants.
It's like a white running back, which
know
is
he's
just funny.
Be good. Everyone's like, well, he's slow and he's not that athletic. I'm like, I don't care. He's good.
I'm so convinced that he has, and also the funny thing about him is because he's so big, he has a total three down skill set, which is hilarious because he's not fast, but he can block and he's a really good receiver. So I am really convinced that Scadaboo, and I also think because he had this hamstring injury, zero rookie hype. He would have shot up.
Well, he basically missed all of training camp.
He missed a lot, but like Tyrone Tracy, in a weird way, even though he was a receiver in college, I kind of think that's the empty calorie touches, where I actually think Scadaboo could get goal line because he's way larger and he can do passing work. So
Transformative Giants draft.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Really seemed like a special one.
Dude, Abdul Carter is, don't even get me started.
Every Giants fan in my life is just like, has to be hosed down about Abdul Carter.
When they put him over the guard, like the Cowboys do with Michael Parsons and against the Bills.
Unbelievable. Like, oh, but we knew it the whole time. That's what like the Joe Milton game is just so devastating. But then the Pats ended up, I'll do my shameless homer pick ahead of everybody else. The Trevion Henderson. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I was looking at the Jahmyr Gibbs rookie numbers where he was like 900 yards rushing and I don't know, 600 yards receiving. And it felt like a lot. It felt impactful. If Henderson plays 17 games, there's no way he's not doing better than Jahmyr Gibbs' rookie season. He has this home run receiving power that I don't even think Gibbs has. Like I was looking up Gibbs' biggest receiving like explosion thing. Henderson's going to do it multiple times. And if you have kickoff returns in your draft that's tied to the players, which some drafts do, and they changed these kickoff rules. And I think he's going to be one of the biggest weapons in the league. I just think it was honestly a miracle that he fell to. The Browns had 36 and took the other Ohio State running back.
That's going to be an all-timer.
And it was like a miracle. It made up for the Abdul Carter thing.
No, it's karma. It's karma.
It literally did.
It's karma for when you guys took, the Patriots took Sonny Michel over Nick Chubb when they both came out of Georgia.
It seesawed the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we get Will Campbell he's not Abdul Carter, but he is, he'll be a good left tackle for us. And then Henderson, who if he had gone 12 to the Chargers, people would be like, should he be RB5?
Yeah. Right.
They'd be just going, what's Harbaugh? Can he get to 2,000 all-purpose yards? And on the Pats, he's kind of buried. But he's been the story of camp. That's all people talk about covering the Pats.
I feel it's like every day.
I mean, every day he does
a 100-yard touchdown return.
The thing with Henderson, we were just talking about it. We recorded our show for the fantasy show earlier today. And I was saying, I think the thing with Trevion and about why I think he'll have a larger impact rookie year than most rookies is just, I think the passing game's harder because, frankly, they don't want to trust. At the end of the day, a rookie's still an intern, and like they don't want to trust the $100 million quarterback with like being protected by the
but
guy
he
who's
come back.
But he's 21 years old. Yeah, and I think Henderson is a function of NIL because they paid him a lot of money to go back to Ohio State. He wanted to win a championship. And so I think, frankly, it's a new era now where people, as a running back as talented as Trevion Henderson, would have gotten as much experience on the team. And so I think while that might be larger, it's more of tread on the tires, so to speak, for like his contract in terms of a rookie year impact. He's just more experienced than most people this talented are entering a season.
The fact that he can block like he does, because they go nuts about how he blocks.
Yeah. Hardest thing for rookies to learn.
He's out there and it's like, oh, it's a passing down. He's out there. It's like, maybe it's not. Or maybe it is.
Yes.
Or maybe they'll run and you're going to have to defend the whole field with him. He's a godsend. Like McDaniels is talking about like Vereen and James White, all these dudes they had in this spot. And he's like, this guy's like all of those dudes on steroids.
Yeah, he's way better than them. Yeah.
So, he's going to surpass Ramondre quickly. And I entered the season thinking that would not happen, but he's clearly
yeah, all my friends are going to bid me up on him, and it's going to, I'm just going to like know. Be like, what are you, 28, 30.
Yeah.
Who do you have for Seattle?
I'm shameless homer about Kenneth Walker. I absolutely love that guy. I stand by this. I think he's one of the best pure runners in the league going back the last few years. I mean, he make guys miss, break tackles, just obliterate angles in the open field. He's actually proven to be a pretty good pass catcher. Last year he had 46 catches, which was 12th most among running backs. And that was only in
why can't he play
games?
Five straight games?
Well, yeah. That's the problem.
He's too busy suplexing defenders.
He's too elusive.
He's a red flag guy.
Can't even find him for the game.
Well, this is why I'm shameless about it.
He's one of those guys where if it was just like, if you just watched like silhouettes of players running, you didn't know who that was. If somebody, like, he kind of looks like Saquon Barkley in moments.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
like,
awesome. Like, I had him last year. He was great.
Yeah. Saquon with a touch of Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, a little bit angry run.
Just like he has a weird run. He has a weird running like gait.
He like runs like a crab. He runs sideways.
Do you have a shameless Steelers pick?
To be honest, no, I don't.
You got mad at me for avoiding the Steelers.
There's nobody that I'm like, this guy's gonna crush. I mean, like, I can give you like a player I think is kind of under the radar. I'm not saying at all he'll be fantasy relevant, but their third round pick last year, Roman Wilson, the receiver out of Michigan, I do think is good. He played 5 snaps last year. He was hurt all year.
Literally five.
Rodgers is talking him up. He won the Natty with Michigan. He had 12 touchdowns that year. Like, he's like very gritty, dirty work, blocking guy. Apparently, he's been great in camp. He's like that slot receiver that is exactly what the Steelers need. Rodgers has seemed to like him. I do think there's a chance that in like a month or two, we're like, oh, Roman Wilson.
You might get some manufactured touches.
That was sad. I don't have a shameless homer pick.
I don't.
But here's a guy who had 5 snaps last year that I'm mildly excited about.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and then coming back with the veal chop guy. All right. This is a special category. Danny's going to lead us off. It's my veal chop guy, the veal chop, which we argued about last year in this podcast. It's a feast or famine order.
I still have yet to have a veal chop.
It's expensive.
I've never actually had
one. It might be terrible. You just don't know. David Chang, we did this category last year and he was so upset that the veal chop was besmirched.
Yeah, disparaging.
He thought it was an absolutely insane take that I continue to be the worst food take person.
Did he
but
not
he agree doesn't eat bad veal chops? Dave Chang walks in and they're like, better not fuck up
this
veal chop.
That's what I said. This is like, you know, he's snobby in general with this food. It's not like he's
so he thinks all veal chops are good.
His theory is all veal chops bring something to the table.
Okay.
Anyway, who do you have for your veal chops?
It's like a phrase. Like,
it definitely helps.
Sounds
me
like
understand.
Participation trophy for veal chops.
Who do you have for your veal chop guy, Danny?
Jameson Williams of the Lions.
Good year last year.
Yeah, he obviously the first 2 years in the league was all over the place. He was injured at first, then he got suspended for gambling, and then he was I think just kind of a knucklehead. They didn't trust him right away, so he was playing off and on. But every time he gets on the field, you're like. Yeah. This is the fastest guy in the league.
It never works out. Like, there's been a lot of these guys, and usually they're out of the league in, like, 3 years. He was right on the cusp of, like, he literally might be out of the league.
That's what we had with Tyquan Thornton, who the Chiefs are trying to save right now. He's, like, 4.2 speed.
And yeah.
The Chiefs are just, like, kind of your last stop on the way out.
Yeah.
Totally.
Tire kick.
But JMO, he had over 1,000 yards last year. To me, he's just the perfect example of there'll be one game where he has 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, and then he'll have, like, a catch the next week, and you're kind of... you know, whack-a-mole trying to figure out when to play him. But I truly believe he's one of the most talented receivers in the NFL. It's just a matter of...
He is open by 5 yards when he's on a deep pass. Like, you don't even see the defender behind him.
The first round 3 years ago.
That's one of the better fantasy questions from last year of who had more receiving yards, T. Higgins or Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
Everyone would have said T. Higgins. I like that one. I mean, it felt like he was getting better and better as the year was going along. Who do you have for your veal chop guy?
It's got to be Devon Achan.
I was just running it back.
It has to be. He hurt his calf.
For the most part, it was pretty good experience with him last year,
okay,
right?
When Tua played, he was a top 2 running back. He was basically Saquon. When Tua didn't play, he was irrelevant and borderline not startable.
Alexander Mattison had more points per game than Achan when Tua was out.
Yeah.
Wow. And so it's like, I mean, he hurt his calf and right now. He's got a hurt calf, which is like the biggest... red flag of all
for
time.
Speed guys.
The calf is just that's if we did a draft
AKA Achilles.
The soft tissue injuries you want to see calf
well,
is
especially
dead
after
last.
This NBA season. I now treat the calf injury like it's
It's like possible, a heart attack. Yeah. Yeah. It's a basic, it's like I'd rather have a heart
diagnosis. So like, oh my God, he has a calf injury? Jesus.
So I don't know. I don't know where I stand with HN. I honestly think I'm probably going to avoid him. I was kind of into him and until the calf injury came around and now.
I'm honestly, Craig, I want no one on that team. Yeah. I'm out. I'm kind of out on him too.
Craig nailed it. He said, HN's a parlay. You're parlaying that Devon HN's calf is okay with Tua plays football.
Good luck. I have a great Bill Chubb guy. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to talk about him with the three of you. Braylon Allen.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
So I had Breece Hall on both teams last year.
Sure.
And
me too.
He just put his poop in a doggy bag and whipped it at me for 4 months.
Vivid. Yeah.
And every time Braylon Allen came in for him, you have that sinking feeling as a fantasy football person.
You're 100% right.
The guy behind your guy comes in and you're
better.
Like, fuck, that guy's better.
Yeah, he just I is. Knew it you in just, my soul.
You just know in yourself, like,
this guy's better. He just is.
Guy just hits the hole farther. He seems stronger. Like, God damn it. I thought I just really got this wrong. I just think he's going to end up being the Jet starter and having a big season. He's like 19 years old. Yeah. I don't even know. Is he still a teenager?
He was the youngest drafted player ever, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the youngest drafted player I think ever. And then, I mean, I don't know about the 30s when there was like World War One, World War Two gaps or whatever. But like he had his freshman year at Wisconsin. He was 17 years old. This is the meme. People always talk about this, but like he had like 1,300 yards at Wisconsin in a very similar scheme. But overall, to your point, the person who's going to notice this immediately is Aaron Glenn, the coach of the Jets.
Right.
He's going, I think he.
It's the kind of team he wants to have.
Yes.
I want to run the ball. I want to pound the ball. The case for the Jets to go 9-8 and get a 7th seed, which I will not make, but there will be a terrible 7th seed in the AFC. It's just where it's going to happen. But the case is Braylon Allen is actually like incredible.
Yeah. The case and their line, and the other part, the Jets have a sneaky, really good offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean,
unless you watched the Membo footage last weekend.
Was he not good? Oh, no.
It's good in theory.
The Membo footage was bad.
Footage.
Preseason.
I think you called it footage. Like footage,
Zapruder film.
I was on a Pats fan text thread as we were exulting that we have Campbell and not Membo, and somebody was like, look how slow his hands are. Slow hands. Can't get his hands up fast enough.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh, slow hands. But anyway, Allen, that's my guy.
I'm very stubbornly staying on Breece Hall Island. And I don't feel good about it.
I'll sell you my condo.
I don't feel good about it anymore.
Bill, as you can imagine, most of the times we get mad at each other, one of them is mad at me.
Yeah.
The only time I've seen them like actually really angry at each other was when he besmirched Breece Hall. Only thing I've seen him do to get him.
It's a weird one because he seemed like just a slam dunk.
He's not.
No, he is good.
2 years ago, it seemed like he was a slam dunk. Pay $50 for this guy in a fantasy draft. Feel great about it.
He's never had 1,000 yards in a year.
Yeah.
Who's your guy? Average less than like 14
too. I can't get over the fact. HN literally is on par with Gibbs, Bijan, and Saquon when Tua plays. And then literally he's there with Alexander Mattison and post-injury Nick Chubb when Tua doesn't play. And I can't think of a player that would be more the spirit of this thing of boomer feast or famine than
HN. Braylon Allen's in the 20s somewhere, right? 25?
No, lower.
Way lower.
For sure.
You think? Yeah. By the time this season, what if he has a starting job?
Way lower.
If he had the starting job, but I don't think he's going to, and I think he'll be low.
Way lower.
If Breece gets traded.
You can get him. There's a world where if you didn't have this podcast and everyone in the league wasn't listening, you might
but
have
I haven't won since 07, so I'd be probably zag against
me. I'll tell you right now.
You can probably get him for $2.
He's the running back 47.
You can get him for $2 in your draft.
That's where he's going in draft.
Really?
Yeah.
You can get him for $2. I don't think get him for pay anything. $3.
He's not even a veal chop guy. He's like a freaking appetizer.
Yeah.
He's like the scallops with the bacon.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. DK, I wouldn't take him. Even if he was free guy, aka the DND list, the list you don't want to be on. I have three guys on mine this year.
Yeah. Mine's kind of a team thing. I'm staying away from the Cowboys backfield. So Javonte.
Just blind, stay
Miles
away.
Sanders.
You don't want one
I'm
person.
Like,
who
even
plays
if they're, there. I mean, I guess I would take Jaden Blue really late for $1 or whatever, but I just am avoiding that. I just don't have any faith that they're going to run the ball well or often. And I think they're going to be a pass heavy team. I'm just staying away from that.
What do you have, Craig?
Garrett Wilson. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody that Justin Fields is throwing passes to. Rodgers had the third most passes in the league last year. Garrett Wilson was the wide receiver 23. Now he's getting drafted as the wide receiver 15. How he's getting better? with Justin Fields throwing the ball like 18 times a game. I don't get it at all. And also
being double teamed.
Yeah, yeah, don't get it at all.
I like that one. I have, with apologies to DK Metcalf and Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence.
Really?
Literally, he was one of my big guys last year. Like, big year coming.
He spurred you, I can tell.
Yeah, he's also not good. He's not good at football.
You're not willing to wait for the Liam Cohen.
I'm not willing to wait on anything. I don't think he's accurate. I think he throws hospital balls left and right. If I was Brian Thomas Jr.'s family, I'd be terrified every game. I don't think he's a smart quarterback. I think he does dumb shit, especially in inside the 20. Like, I forgot until I went through my notes how fucking stupid the Jaguars were last year, where they were like 0-4, and we were like, how is this team 0-4? I just don't think that goes away. I don't think he has it, and I think he's a complete stay away. For $0.
I think the literal recent history of the NFL would suggest that I think giving up on quarterbacks who played for horrible organizations like Jacksonville is just a mistake. Like, you're talking about, they had to out, Liam Cohen had to oust the GM of the Jags, Trent Baalke, like he was like Littlefinger or Rasputin or something, because that's the organization. But if you just look at...
Is this a Trevor Lawrence defense? Because it feels like you're making
one. Listen to our pod.
No, it's
today.
I'm just saying, Baker Mayfield was salary dumped by the Carolina Panthers, and he's now a $40 million a year player. Geno Smith was a backup for 8 years and then went and now is like a good above average starting quarterback. Bryce Young was given up on bench by the Panthers and then 2 weeks later outplayed CJ Stroud the rest of the season. I mean, if you just look around and around.
Ruiz made the key point about Bryce Young yesterday on the Ringer NFL show. It's like his stats are basically the same as Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson is younger. And everybody's like, Bryce Young, looking good.
But he looked, no. Anthony Richardson.
Bryce Young, he played 2 good games. Come on. Everyone needs to settle down on Bryce Young.
He almost beat the Eagles. I'm just saying that, like.
Like, these garbage time, like, everyone was not taking them seriously because they were so terrible. I'm dubious of Bryce Young.
But you like in Jigba for the Seahawks, and it's like Sam Darnold's the quarterback of the Seahawks. It's like he's been given up on by, like, 4 or 5 teams. I guess I'm just saying that.
14-3 last year.
I know, but that's my
case
point.
For Lawrence,
the Jets gave up on him,
but
and the Panthers gave up.
You guys haven't followed football for long enough because you're way younger than I am. I've watched this happen too many times. When these people get infected by being on bad teams for too many years, that's it. It's like gangrene. Your leg falls off. That's
but then how did Sam Darnold win 14 games last year?
Well, Sam Darnold, how many teams was he on? He bounced around.
He had to go to the Niners and be rehabbed.
I think
the Niners
needs
good
to leave Jacksonville before anything good happens for him. There's too much baggage.
He needs to cut his hair. I will bet the Jags to like win the Super Bowl when he just gets a buzz cut.
How many times do you watch Trevor Lawrence do something stupid and then cut to him on the sideline and he takes his helmet off and he's like, I just can't do it again.
I just think coaching. Kevin O'Connell said
Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl.
And then was fired with the same quarterback because he couldn't make it happen.
Liam Cohen like had one good year with Baker Mayfield. Everyone's like, oh, Ben Johnson 2.0. Like, are we sure he's even going to be a good coach? And what makes us think Jacksonville is competent anyway? They just traded their entire draft for Travis Hunter.
What exact week did Trevor Lawrence fail you, lost your season that you feel this way?
Like, how about all the weeks? Every single week. It was 2-8 last
There's
year.
Plenty of hate in his heart right now, I feel like. Yeah.
What is his career record? Oh, it's 22-38.
It's better than I thought, actually.
I just don't get it. The last
this
2 years.
His year.
Last 2 years, 32 touchdowns, 21 picks in a league where everybody is like 30 touchdowns, 8 picks. I'm out.
He's making some good points.
I'm out. I'm sorry. I just feel really passionate about this. I don't get it. It's just like the Justin Herbert thing where he sucked in the playoffs last year. And now everyone just forgot 9 months later. It's like Justin Herbert, one of the 8 best quarterbacks in the league. Is he? Because we watched him. Stink in the playoffs.
The
and it like, doesn't
those,
matter.
But the through line of those is Greg Roman, who's the coordinator of the Chargers, just has never designed a modern passing offense. And like 2019 with Lamar.
Is this another excuse maker for Herbert?
Oh, I will defend Herbert as well.
I'm just saying, we know
you
Greg
like
going
fucking
in.
Fucking Scientologists.
I'm not saying they're definitely going to be good. I'm just saying that we're at a quarter of the league is quarterbacked by highly drafted guys whose first organizations failed them. And it's really clear that, like, okay, some guys just needed better coaching, or you need to be 25, 26. Josh Allen is someone you forget. Josh Allen fucking sucked in his first 2 seasons and then was awesome in year 3.
And 6 his second season.
No, he was terrible his rookie
his
year,
Texans,
terrible his rookie year.
The Texans playoff game Josh Allen played his second season was the worst game I've ever seen a quarterback. That was when he was lateraling. Yeah. It's like, you know,
he almost looked like Justin Herbert.
Yeah. You always say Herbert hasn't won the playoffs. Justin Herbert, the week 18 game versus the Raiders that Brandon Staley blew because they tied the game.
One of the best games I've seen a quarterback
play. Maybe it's not playoffs, but if they win the game, they make the playoffs, wow. and if they lose, they their season's over.
He lit up. Who did he light up?
The Raiders.
It was okay, but it was. Oh. He had fourth and two fourth and 15s, two fourth and 10s.
They had like the janitor as their this no. interim head coach.
I think like if you can come around on Sam Darnold now on his like ninth yes, team on Seattle, and you're like, I don't know Sam Darnold.
I only came around because he did it. He went 14-3.
He had a horrible, really good.
But that's my point. Though, Kevin O'Connell. Loss. Kevin O'Connell himself was the one, and they're like, "How did he do it?" And people are like, "Oh, you did." He's like, "No, organizations fail quarterbacks
totally
more than quarterbacks fail organizations."
Okay. Well, year five, Trevor Lawrence. They have one of the five worst offensive lines in the league, right, Danny?
Yeah,
bottom five.
Probably. Yeah.
We've already seen that when he's pressured, it gets a little dicey.
I just want to wait one more year. If it doesn't work with Cohen. Okay.
I would like to see. Yeah, exactly.
I wish you guys a lot of luck.
The Herbert one surprises me.
What, coaching which matters.
Hurt? Well, it's like.
Score 14 points against a good defense.
Hey, he played the Texans. They're a good defense. Sam Darnold got eviscerated in the playoffs.
I'm not going to defend Sam Darnold. He fell apart.
Or like, I don't know, Dak Prescott or something like that. It's like, also, if you had Dak Prescott over Justin Herbert, what the fuck is Dak Prescott?
Did everybody take a D&D list guy?
Joe Mixon, his foot's messed up. I wouldn't draft Joe
that's
Mixon.
Like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, just Joe Mixon's foot. They're not being honest about it. I don't even know if he's going to play.
Would you... So you guys would take Pitts?
Yeah, because he'll be so cheap. Like,
he's the cheapest he's ever been. He's
like $0 for me.
No, he's... I'm doing it.
This is a fun... It's a group category. Our Aaron Brooks, please don't ever watch him. Just check the box score after the game, guy. It's Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Just don't watch one snap.
Literally don't
just
watch
bank
him throw.
The points.
Yep.
Yeah.
He'll be like in the 20s every game, right? Just don't watch any of the snaps.
Don't watch the footage.
As the Blake Bortles was that way, Tim Tebow had that year where he had like 1 point before the fourth quarter and then scored an 18 every fourth. And it's a tough existence in fantasy when you have a guy like that, but you can squeeze out 20 points.
Craig, this is one of our best categories from last year. That 2024 booty call isn't happening again guy. The guy who kind of late at night in the fantasy season last year, all of a sudden he was getting points for you, but you don't know if it's a real thing or not.
Well, this is funny because we just had a long conversation that he was involved in. Sam Darnold.
Booty call guy for you?
The 35 touchdowns.
Natasha Henstridge and Species. I'm like, it only works there. Nowhere else. You know, I'm like, in that movie, great.
Yeah.
The Kevin O'Connell system, awesome.
Right.
Now he's like, you. In Seattle, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I want
to change that category to the Natasha Henstridge Species.
Yeah,
it's like, only working once.
You works in one Kevin scenario. O'Connell, I'm like, for sure.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold anywhere else? Not for me. Sam Darnold on his own? Not for me.
I was split for mine between Jonnu Smith. I still don't understand that season he had last year.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Tyreek Hill quit on the team.
How did that Chuba Hubbard thing happen? Where all of a sudden he was like one of like the six best running backs.
He had all of it. He had all of the.
Okay, so that's what. So I'm going to go Jonnu Smith because Hubbard was like winning people leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder if that happens.
It's also because it may have been a bad move, if you want to say it, but they overpaid those guards. So the Carolina has a weirdly competent offensive line.
Yeah.
And so it's a good line. And Chuba Hubbard, you have to be good to survive three regimes. He was drafted by Matt Rhule, really Matt Rhule's wife.
Right, because she's like, I like this guy. Let's take him.
I looked at his game log, and it's like pretty, like every three, 4 weeks, too. He would have 150 yards.
Well, he was getting like 85% of the snaps for that team.
It's a good line. He's good. Yeah.
So I'll go Jonnu. Who do you have?
John is better than I think, unfortunately, Terry McLaurin for Washington is like a buzzkill. But I mean, Terry McLaurin tied the most touchdowns in the history of the team. But I mean, he only had like under 1,100 yards. But now Debo's there. And also, every touchdown Terry had looked like, other than, of course, when they played the Giants, everything looked like the hardest catch.
It was like a miracle.
Yeah, it was like a miracle. Like,
also, he's sneaky, like 31 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 30, the contract. Terry's a great guy. He's easy to root for. But I just think where you're drafting him, it's like his ceiling. And realistically,
should we do an ESPN segment here?
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay him. You got to pay Terry McLaurin. You got to pay him.
I actually do think they need to pay him.
if they want to win 10 games, they might need to pay him. Everybody had a booty call guy?
I got one.
Who's yours?
James Cook for the Bills.
Mm.
I love James Cook, actually. And I think there is a small chance that he is just in that tier of like Alvin Kamara, where he's just way too... He's so efficient and he just keeps doing it every year. It shocks you every year. But last year, he had 16 touchdowns. Rushing the 2 years before that, 2-2. And if you look at his other underlying metrics, he is not a normal elite quarterback. He was 28th in touches per game, 38th in snap rate, 24th in rush rate in terms of how many carries he was getting relative to the rest of the team. Like barely, just over half of the goal go opportunities were his. I think it was just like lightning in a bottle. He got the most goal line carries, I think, in the NFL, or inside the 5 yard carries in the NFL last year. I don't know if that's going to happen again. Josh Allen's going to steal some of those. Maybe Ray Davis steals some of them. His underlying metrics just don't match the production. He would have to be one of the most efficient running backs in the NFL again in a second year, and I don't know if he can do that. And also, he wasn't really used in the passing game that much.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The James Cook, he just feels like that was one. That was just a weird season. He got a
new contract.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really liked him second half of the year. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that. I don't know what to think on this one.
Yeah.
There's some red flags, but there I could also see him being one of the five best guys.
Yeah. Right. He could be like Kamara. I think it's possible, but the metrics, the math, it's not mathing, as they say.
All right. Next category is my look. Somebody's got to get points in that team, guy. For me, it's Calvin Ridley.
Me too.
Calvin Ridley too.
Oh, you have him too?
Yeah. He's one of my favorite players this year.
Here's the thing. Cam Ward might be pretty good.
Yeah.
That's another guy. When you read the quotes and stuff, I like that he got in the fight with Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. And they were like, what'd you learn from that fight? And he's like, Jeff's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jeff?
Yeah.
He's a big guy. There's also a narrative now that's not a narrative anymore, but it seems like it's become a narrative of we're not talking about Cam Ward enough, which is really borrowed from the NBA, where we don't talk about guys enough, but
there's a first take
the
right
guy
there.
In every single ESPN show is like,
first round pick ever.
We don't talk about Austin Reeves enough. And it's like, no, we actually probably talk about him the right amount. The Cam Ward thing, he just looks like he's going to be a franchise quarterback. They have a good offensive line.
Yep.
And I'm not ready to think they could steal the AFC South or be out of nowhere and win 9 games or anything like that, because they're pretty bad. And the coaching was bad last year on that team.
Mm. Yeah.
But that, who fucked up more games than the Titans?
It's just hard to do anything, though, with Will Levis.
That was Levis a lot of the time. And
yeah, but they had some special team stuff, too. They were sloppy.
They brought in a new guy.
But their defense was also one of the best defenses to start the season ever that barely won any games. I will say that I love, shout out to Bill Callahan, the reverse Nepo where the son gives the dad the job. And so they have the best offensive line coach in the league. And I do think it's underrated how much better Cam Ward will be than Will Levis. And then the offensive line, getting Dan Moore Jr., it's the Panthers.
There's some pieces. I kickstarted it as a sleeper. I couldn't get there.
Overpay a mid lineman looks dumb in March, but then when you actually see the team, you're like, well, if it works, if it makes J.C. Latham back to right tackle and everyone's, okay, it's actually above average offensive line. Cam Ward with time, I mean, it's kind of like he's doing a Matt Stafford arm angles with Ben Roth. If he was smaller Ben Roethlisberger, I like Cam Ward a lot. And all he talks about is throwing to Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. And right now, Calvin Ridley is being priced like Will Levis is still the quarterback. It's basically they're just assuming he's going to have the same year he had last year.
And I don't really want to have Calvin Ridley on my team, but it seems like he's going to be the beneficiary.
He's the boring player that falls multiple rounds
and nobody wants
to take him.
Also, a gambling thing? Or what was this thing?
He missed an entire year for gambling, which to me, I'm great. That means his legs are a year younger than his age suggests.
That happened with A-Rod.
So we all have Ridley for that. Anybody have one other guy for that?
I had Tet McMillan for the Panthers.
Oh.
I just think, good receiver, and you're not going to like to hear this, but I thought Bryce, elevated that offense in the second half of the year, at least statistically.
No, he had some moments.
Yeah, statistically, I think he got his confidence back, because he was no confidence at all.
You know this scuttlebutt, right?
Do you know why Bryce Young was in turmoil?
Part of
mentally?
Tyrese Maxey started dating Bryce Young's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Mm.
And we think, and then, he kind of, the benching was a rebirth of sorts.
Well, it was really the Andy Dalton car accident.
Yes.
Right.
One of the most underrated football moments. It's the guy, who was the guy that got stabbed by the Chargers team doctor?
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Conspiracy, do you think, that car crash?
You never know.
Yeah, who knows? Princess Diana
situation. Daniel Jones is going to watch out.
Three episode Netflix show.
Yeah. Who hit Andy Dalton?
Oh, we'll do this quick. Sorry, that's a little too rich for my blood guy. Mine's McCaffrey. Mm. I'm just, any price over $32, I'm just not.
Are we doing the McCaffrey thing now?
I'm just, we don't need to.
You don't have to talk me into it. I'm not doing it.
It's just what your level of risk is.
If it works, you'll probably win.
Yeah. You'll feel great week 4 when he has the 230 total yards and 3 TDs and everyone's talking about, he looks like he did 5 years ago, and then the red flag pops up.
I mean, we're kind of stepping on this, but you also had a category later. I'd be afraid to look on Tuesday and see the red flag guy.
It almost should be named after
him.
Yeah, honestly, it should. He's unlike any other fantasy pick I can remember McCaffrey this year, because we're all afraid he's going to get hurt. But every week he doesn't hurt, we're going to rank him where each week? First?
Yeah.
He's the first, one of the three best guys in the...
Yeah, yeah.
That's my week one test thing with McCaffrey, is he's going to probably have three touchdowns.
He's just been practicing all month.
He's going to play 19 out of 20
no reports
steps.
About him being injured.
I get scared when it's not even just a calf injury or an Achilles injury. It has some name that I don't even know what the...
You mean bilateral Achilles tendonitis?
Yeah, it's like, what is that?
No, I don't love that it's spread to the other leg.
Speaking of gangrene,
it's like malaria.
It's got the rot.
The one leg caught the other leg.
Yeah. The Warren Buffett rule is the ultimate fantasy thing to me, of just like, be bold when everyone else is fearful, be fearful when everyone's bold.
Yeah, but everyone's not fearful. He's going a first rounder.
Okay, but he's the best fantasy football player since LaDainian Tomlinson, period, full stop.
But he's literally not somebody people are fearful about if he's going seventh.
But he's the best fantasy football player since LaDainian
Tomlinson.
And he's
playing when the draft starts, he's going to be in one of the three guys.
He got bit up in my league.
I got him seventh, like, literally yesterday.
Because he wins the league. If he's healthy in week 15, 16, 17, you win the league.
The argument is you're not trying to get seventh place.
Yeah.
If you're trying to avoid, doing a rage baiting tweets maybe don't take Christian McCaffrey, but
Matthew Berry
go bigger, go home.
Berry has the rule of, like, you can't win your draft in the first round, but maybe you can lose it. And, like, maybe I'm tempting the fantasy gods with hubris by being like that. But you know what? This is the exception. Like, I know I sound like hyperbolic, but McCaffrey literally has the most fantasy points per game of any player. And the Niners, even last year when he came back from this injury, they were conservative with it. He played all the snaps.
How old is he now? Is he
29. 29.
I'm not doing it.
His Achilles are 38, though.
Bilateral.
I'm more scared
of Achilles and calves than anything.
Yeah.
It's I'm like Cold War 1960s just, level fear.
You could just be standing there and your Achilles just explodes.
Yeah.
I also had Garrett Wilson for this category.
Sure.
But we already talked about him. Heifetz, who's your $1 quarterback guy?
$1 quarterback guy? So I'm curious where you think this begins. Because, like, is Dak Prescott a $1 quarterback guy?
Is Drake May?
He's
probably in the 4 to 5 range, right?
I think in that case, I will just say, I think there's more $1 quarterbacks than I can ever remember. And I can make a case for Stroud. You heard mine on Lawrence. J.J. McCarthy can
Stroud
make a case.
Stroud will be more than $1.
But I'm going to have Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is probably, you don't think so?
He's higher than $1, you think?
Okay, then I was...
So you're just like late round
quarterback leagues or just one quarterback?
I mean, I have Cam Ward as my $1 guy.
Oh, so in that case, then I would pick Michael. You're going that deep, Michael Penix.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Penix.
$1 is like your backup QB you spend $1 on, and then he wins 8 weeks for you, and you can't believe.
Penix. I think Penix is going to throw a lot.
I agree.
Bill, I'm getting like Gary Payton vibes with Cam Ward. He just talks shit and picks fights with everyone, has no fear whatsoever.
The Simmons fight was enthralling. I read like 8 stories about it. Why did he do that?
You're going into prison, you pick a fight with the biggest guy.
Yeah.
Dude, when he talks shit with Shadur.
Punch the biggest guy you can find in the face.
Well, did you ever think about the 5 a.m. meetings? He gets in there for 5 a.m. meetings, and he would bring the skill guys in, and the coaches were like, well, this will stop once preseason starts. And then the coach was like, every day, 5 a.m.
He's
the guy
a
is for real.
Dog like, levels he's, through the roof.
Just he checks some boxes for sleepers.
It also makes you think about, like, when you're like, oh, a rookie quarterback, how much can they come in and like be a leader and immediately take over? Reading what Cam Ward has done kind of makes you think about Caleb Williams a little bit. You don't hear any of that about Caleb Williams.
And again, no. New left tackle, J.C. Latham's a first-round pick at right tackle. You have Peter Skoronski's a first-round pick at left guard. And then they have Kevin Zeitler from the Lions at right guard.
Yeah.
Like, it's an unusually good line for a guy.
Good line coach as well.
I like the Cam one. I drafted him in my league. Well, in a super flex, I have him as my QB too.
And you
was,
loved
like,
him.
Stoked about him.
You loved him in the draft, right? As a franchise guy?
Yeah, I didn't. He's like not on the level of a lot of the like first overall picks we've seen in the past at quarterback in terms of as a prospect. You know, older guy. And Heifetz, you talk about, he's like the ultimate American American story or
Cam
whatever.
Cam Ward is the American dream.
Right.
And
he's like a zero star guy that started at
Incarnate Word who transferred to Washington State, who transferred to Miami. He went from one D1 offer to the number one pick in the draft. And I know there's a lot of issues with NIL, but to me, that's why we did NIL and started paying players. That's the American dream. Is like, there are a lot of guys maybe could have been Cam Ward, but couldn't transfer or whatever, couldn't put themselves through school, but he was able to make money. I can't, it's really like a, in a very corny way, a very American story.
But yeah,
like
I like him a lot.
Efton Chisholm Jr. Same thing.
That's right.
Our new Julian Edelman.
Right.
You gotta have one. Yeah, there always has to be a white slot.
DK, who do you have for your DeMar DeRozan anti-lytics guy? New category for us. Anti-lytics. They make no sense, but he's going to put up points and you don't really understand how or why.
This one I'm going, the anti-lytics is because the numbers and vibes and overall just feel right now for the Dolphins is not good. I'm going with Jalen Waddle.
Mm.
These guys hate him. There's a kind of a long running bit. There's a long running bit on our podcast.
He will never be on my team.
That's how we feel about Lawrence.
This is what I'm talking about, though, because we're all out on him, you know, here collectively.
But weirdly, his stats are good.
Well, last year they weren't great, but going back throughout his career, you know, he's averaged 12, 13, and 11 points per game. And, you know, if Tyreek goes off and does his thing, like he like tried to quit last year at the end of the season, like if he does an Antonio Brown type thing and just pieces out midway through the season, Jalen Waddle is getting 35% target rate.
That's true. And I won't dispute anything he just said. I just, you look at Waddle and the type of player he is and you think he's boom bust, but he's had 20 points in a game like 3 times in 2 years. It's not even fun to have him.
No.
No. Well, I'll never know because I'll never have him.
I'm taking him.
You like him?
I'm doing it. Screw you guys.
Do you have a DeMar DeRozan guy? This is your category.
Yeah. I think James Cook, it's like, oh, he had 18 touchdowns last year. No way he'll do that again. They, you know, the numbers suggest that he'll regress. And but I'm just I'm just like, nah, he's going to do it again.
I kind of think actually had the same thing with James Cook. I'm like, he's just going to do it again.
He's just going to have 18 touchdowns again and be great. I don't care what the numbers suggest.
I had the same thing. He's going to have 16 right. again.
I'm like, it's just going to happen.
Mine is Isaiah Pacheco.
Ooh. But you're out or in?
I think he's an anti-lytics guy and he'll end up with like 13 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because you watch him and you're like, it feels like the first four running backs on the team called in sick and they had to like grab him. Hey, we put on this jersey and
be in this 32. He's like figuring out how to run.
Yeah. He just doesn't seem like he should be a starting running back or any kind of running back.
Yeah.
And then he's 17 for 80 with 2 touchdowns.
He runs like he bites people.
Because he was going pretty highly in drafts 2 years ago or like last year. And then he broke his leg.
Yeah.
And so he was out most of the year. And now everybody just kind of forgot about him.
Well, people were like, oh, he broke his leg last year. I don't want him because he was so bad when he came back. I'm like, he came back last year.
Yeah.
Right.
He's recovered.
Yeah, I like Pacheco.
Did you have an analytics guy?
I had James Cook too, okay. Where I'm like, generally speaking, you can count on touchdown. I think you said James Cook never had more than 2 touchdowns in a year. And then he had 16. And that's the safest bet you can make is to have less than 16. I'm like, he's going to do it again. And yet that one, he's going to do it again.
Well, this dives into, I can't resist, even though I know I'll be afraid to look on a Tuesday and see the red flag guy. I don't know why I have him down, but I think it's because I had him in both leagues last year. Sam Laporta. I just felt like he's always has some sort of minor injury that you're couple. Just being held a hostage with. No, he's going to play. He hurt his shoulder, but he's okay. And he takes big hits when you watch the Lions. It always feels like he gets racked.
Yeah.
Goff will just throw it over the middle and he'll just get annihilated by a linebacker. I didn't really enjoy the experience. $20 or whatever I paid.
It was a little tough for Sam Laporta last year. Dude, McCaffrey. We got to name this the McCaffrey Award. Like if McCaffrey pops up at the red flag, like I can't imagine anything.
I was trying to zag against McCaffrey, but this has to be McCaffrey. Is there anybody else who's in this? Tyreek Hill has to be in here.
I think Malik Nabers is kind of in here.
This is the secret Giants fans keep to ourselves. He's already had quite a bit of injuries.
First, second rounder right
he's
now.
He's had a toe injury
he
since
has those
LSU.
Injuries where he's just trying to stretch out to catch the ball and gets hurt.
Yeah,
he got knocked out in the Cowboys game where he made an amazing sideline catch and his face hit the ground. I think he lost consciousness. Yeah, and then so the concussion.
What is he like? 170?
Yeah. Well, he has the back. He has the toe. He has a shoulder.
He's all they got. They're going to throw him. He led the league in targets last year. I'm like, be careful.
I'm a little worried because he's a special player. They threw him 50 balls in the first month of the season. Which, I mean, that's what Cooper Kupp got when he won the Triple Crown, 50 targets in the first month of the season. Like, he was a rookie. But yeah, I don't know if he knows how to protect himself in the field to some degree. Or I don't know what's going on there, but he's picked up more injuries than I would like to see.
He's 200 pounds, by the way.
Yeah, he's thicker than you think for a fast guy.
200 pounds? Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's because he wears one, so he looks slim.
That's smart. Smart uniform stuff.
I'm going to start wearing number one.
I had a
repeat
here. I had Kenneth Walker.
Always hurt.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome watching him run and score a bunch of points in the first 3 weeks. And then in week four, he's like out with an oblique injury. And I'm like, fuck.
I've had him the last couple of years in at least one league. And it just never seems like he's healthy for more than 3 weeks.
Like, I'm going to do it again, though.
He's great.
You think he's 27.
You did yours, right? Mm-hmm. All right. You're leading us off for my 2022 Cooper Kupp. It's a year after the year guy. So we named this after Cooper Kupp because he had that 21 where just everything's perfect. Yeah. He checks every box. It's clear it's his career year. And then the next year you're getting bought at that price when it's like, that's never happening again.
Right.
So who's that this year for you, Craig?
I don't want to believe this, but I think it's the right call. Is Jaden Daniels in the Commanders. Jaden, they were the best fourth down team ever. 87% right. conversion rate. Jaden, everybody was worried about how skinny he was. He played all 17 games. He did hurt his ribs, but he was able to like keep playing. I'm kind of like, man, also their schedule last year was way easier than it's going to be this year. Last year, they played the NFC South. They played the Titans, the Cardinals. This year, they play the NFC North and the AFC West, which I think are the two best divisions in football. Their two easiest games are Atlanta and Miami outside of the Giants who are in the division. And I'm kind of just like, you know, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. It's not like the roster is fantastic.
We don't know about the McLaurin thing.
Yeah.
Not sure about any running back.
Not sure about Debo.
We got Fat Debo.
The seventh round running back who's like, my name's Jacob, but call me Bill.
Right.
Whatever's going on.
Yeah. Ja'Cory.
Yeah. Their tight end is Zach Ertz. He's like 40. You know,
that's the other thing with Washington is they're an old team. It's like the Steelers, you think that they're old because of Rodgers, but they're kind of young. The Washington, you think they're young because of Jaden Daniels. Washington's the oldest team in the NFL.
I don't want to spoil my pod with Sal, but you won't be surprised to know I don't have Washington in the playoffs. Mm.
Yeah, you know.
I also had Jaden Daniels.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought everything went right.
I mean, he fucking completed a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I know.
They were 20 for 23 on fourth down. Dude, like, part of me is everything like, went right.
Missing the playoffs to me is a given. Maybe that's insulting to Washington fans, but I'm like, if you look at the quarterback, they played, they were like atrocious all year.
Yeah.
To your point about fantasy.
And they went from the half dead Ron Rivera to the Dan Quinn. They went from, I don't even remember who their quarterback, Sam Howell and all the other schmucks they had the year before, to Jaden Daniels. Easiest schedule possible.
Yeah.
Like, come on. They were the classic bump team. It's not going to happen again.
The thing that I like reference with Jaden Daniels is, I feel like here it's such a hater thing to say, is like Jaden Daniels is going to fall off after having an all-time rookie season. One of the most exciting and electric players in all of football.
Yeah.
Like revitalized the entire franchise, like a whole new era.
Yeah.
But I look at what happened with CJ Stroud too, in a year two where people start to catch up with what you're good at and take away the things that you're really good at. I just worry a little bit that, you know, that's going to happen here.
I don't think their defense is good. Like they lost a lot of dudes.
True. I do think there's a little bit of like off-season amnesia you get sometimes where you kind of start to look at like the narratives and the math and you're like, well, they were pretty good on fourth down. Oh, actually this and that, oh, their schedule was hard. And so you're like, you know what? I'm out on the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is going to have a regression second year. When I watched him, I was like, this guy's the best player.
Week one test, you're going to watch him like, oh yeah, this guy is unbelievable. He outscored Jill Burrow week three.
It was week three. And I was like, I trust him over anybody, maybe.
Well, he could do surgery.
So I'm like,
that would be the zag against this, is if he's just in that Allen Mahomes category and that's it, then that means he goes at least 10-7 every year.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I kind of lean that way more, actually, to be honest, but I think this is like mathematically.
It's more for Washington than him.
Yeah.
Like it's just everything went right for that team last year.
I mean, if you want to do sophomore slump, it's Jaden Daniels. But the nature of this category, like the year after, I think Saquon has to be the guy. Saquon just had the best running back season any running back's ever had. Like he literally just spurned his old team, went to the Eagles, which are the two hometown teams where he grew up, had the most rushing yards ever in a single season, including the playoffs, and then won the Super Bowl. And we kind of just saw that, except he lost the Super Bowl with McCaffrey. And then McCaffrey barely played last year. It's like the history of, I mean, Saquon had the second most touches of the 21st century.
Like 482 or something like that?
Almost 500 touches. And the
what
history,
was the Aaron Schatz thing? 375?
It was 370. It was the curse of 370.
Curse of 370. Saquon that was a great one. I was really jealous of that one.
Saquon had four.
I should have invented that one, Craig.
There you go.
Maybe you could just say you did.
Bill invented that. Bill invented the curse of 370. Yeah, Saquon had over 470. And so you look at that and you're like, okay, so the history guys at that is really simple. Half of them who did it missed half the next season.
Yeah.
So it's a coin flip. So and if he doesn't, it'll be great.
Who's the backup running back on Philly?
Will Shipley, who I had later down. Will Shipley is the biggest sleeper in fantasy football now that everyone knows Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt exists.
Bill.
The biggest sleeper in fantasy is Bill. Yeah, Bill Merritt. Will, you invented that one too. Will Shipley is. The Eagles signed A.J. Dillon, but he's kind of washed. Will Shipley actually
like A.J. Dillon.
No, I'm telling you, Will Shipley's going to be the guy.
It's the Philly. But yeah, he had some moments.
I think Will Shipley, if you think Saquon's going to get hurt, Will Shipley will be the Eagles starting running back by like week 11.
DK, you had a 22 Cooper Kupp guy, right?
Or no? I put Saquon.
Okay.
I just think it's the obvious is just based on the volume. I guess you could put Derrick Henry here if you want. I'm personally not fading Derrick Henry until he actually falls off.
He's like the mountain from Thrones. I'm like, I got to see him die.
No, it's stupid now. Yeah. You just got to take him every year.
Yeah.
It's like Mike Evans is like that too.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, let's all give up. They're just going to keep doing this until they stop.
I almost put Henry as my one true love for this year, but I decided to go with Bowers.
It is awesome to have him on your team.
Oh my God.
You feel invincible.
It really 100%. Is just great.
Yeah. I'm never going to die.
You love feel, him. I don't think I can die. Like immortal.
Do we all have for the, I just want everyone on that offense, I don't care who team, is it all Cincinnati across the board?
I think you're going to hate me. I have the Niners.
I have the Niners too. Well, the Bengals, you have to use your first three picks to get you have Chase, and then you have to get Chase Brown and T. Higgins.
So you would want Pearsall and Jennings and wait 6 weeks on IU?
I would take, well, maybe Kittle. Kittle, McCaffrey. Pearsall, Jennings, McCaffrey, Purdy. But I think they're all good values.
I'm confused by you having the Bengals. I feel like you make fun of people who like spend all their money on four players, but you literally, to get Burrow, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase,
well, the category
and Chase
is,
Brown, you'd have
I
to
want
spend a lot
everyone
of money.
On that offense, I don't care who team. So that means I get Burrow, Chase Brown, Higgins, or Jamar.
That's like your
Jamar
that's,
Chase.
That's a pretty.
But
penny.
I get even if I get one of them, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I mean,
I'd love
I'm
to
not
have
argue.
Chase Brown on my team. I wouldn't really be excited for the Gusecki.
No,
I like you take him like as that. A handcuff.
He's a handcuff. Sabus, whatever his name was.
The Bengals are good. I think the difference is the Niners are cheaper because you get McCaffrey in the first round. Ricky Pearsall,
if you
want to
go
Jennings.
Super duper cheap, how about can I offer you Drake May, Stephon Diggs, Trayvon Henderson, and. Efton Chisholm
for someone
Jr.
who is, I'll just say this about while you're talking about the fucking Patriots, I will just say this: you guys better be better under Vrabel, because if you're not, all your shit about Herbert can't win. Drake May currently has won one game as a starter. He has
Drake
one
May
win, so they better win some goddamn games.
He played 10 games,
and he went 1-9. And I'm just saying, you better actually be
instead
good.
Instead of defending this, I'll ask you, what do you think Jerod Mayo is doing this year for a job?
It's a great question.
What
is he doing?
I'm going to look it up.
Do you realize how bad their offensive line was last year? It was like, please don't just get Drake May killed. Drake May has it.
I think that they will. I think they could make the playoffs. If they don't, it will be funny.
I'm gonna
because then Drake May's gonna be
Nate
Herbert.
Tice to come through a wall right now and start strangling
Herbert. Oh yeah,
Nate Tice loves Justin Herbert.
Nate Tice knows. Cincy, any other? So you would say Dallas? Even like you would roll the dice with a running back?
No, I wouldn't want the running backs. No.
Okay. DK, who's your my year too early fuck it guy?
So there's obviously
you
a
can
lot
go
of
Buka
we talked to Buka. I think he would be like my top choice. I talked Tet McMillan. I went a little further down the board here. And I, for some reason, I'm just really excited about Colston Loveland, the tight end for the Bears. Mm. I just think, and I really like Tyler Warren too, actually, the Colts tight end. But I just feel like they drafted him with a very specific role in mind. His ability to do things over the middle field, stretch the seams, run after the catch. There's teams that were looking at him. I heard this from Dane Brugler. Teams were looking at him as a receiver before the draft. Some teams were kind of evaluating him through that lens. He's a really big, smooth, huge catch radius. I just think he's going to be a huge part of this offense. Like, and obviously there's other weapons in that offense. DJ Moore is still there. Roma Dunze is still there. I think like 4 weeks down the line, if he's, you know, top two on that team in receiving, it won't be a big surprise to me. And like the way that Caleb Williams looked in this last preseason game, getting the ball out, hitting his back foot on time, in rhythm, and I just think that's going to be Colston Loveland over the middle of the field.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to stay with the Bears. I think Luther Burden, like,
great name. That's a good one, too.
One of the best names ever.
He might just, like, in my head, he's just like Antonio Brown waiting to happen on the field. But I'm not convinced anybody likes DJ Moore. I'm not convinced Roma Dunze is good. And I kind of think Ben Johnson wanted Luther Burden, drafted Luther Burden. And he's already popped a few times in preseason. And if he plays in the slot, Ben Johnson's slot receivers, he had Jarvis Landry when he was in Miami, who caught like 100 passes a year. And then obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown. I just think eye test-wise, Luther Burden, who had a weird year, his final year in college, there was like injury stuff, he wasn't that good. The year before, he was like the best wide receiver in college football, would have been a top 10
pick. There some like work ethic questions with him?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think our joke during the draft show was that all the teams were looking at Luther Burden and being like, oh man, five-star, crazy talent, crazy speed, might be a headache. Ben Johnson, who's just dealt with James Williams for 3 years, is like, oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Like, give me that any day of the week.
Yeah,
I just think he's awesome.
He has his number 87, though, which is tough.
Well, that's because they're too young to remember when receivers wore that, so they're bringing it back because they think it's new.
It's kind of looks like a tight end.
It looks, yeah.
DK mentioned my guy.
Oh,
Tyler Warren.
Oh, it's, I have mean, Tyler Warren. So
I waffle between the two of those.
All right, let's do the Tyler Warren thing. So they picked Danny Dimes as their QB, who I checked around with Giants fans. I didn't need to ask Heifetz because I already knew, but I talked to a couple other Giants fans in my life, and they were just like, because I was like, I just want to make sure the Colts as an AFC South team.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I was like, just how bad was Dimes last year? And it just sounded really bad. Like the chasm from 22 Dimes, which wasn't exactly Joe Montana, but he was like 15 TDs, 5 interceptions. He ran for 700 yards. That guy was like miles better than last year Dimes, who lost his job to Tommy DeVito.
Only no one said anything nice about Daniel Jones while he was alive. Only when they cut him and he wasn't playing every week were people like, he can play. I'm, I'm a Giants fan. I never heard one nice thing from anybody for 4 years about that guy.
I mean, Richardson has to be so bad for them to be like,
they're just basically giving up on it.
I just screen passes.
So I picture the one thing they do have is a good offensive line, right? The Colts.
It's okay.
It's above average.
Right.
And they have a running game. And there's going to be play action and throw it to Tyler Warren. Because they had this whole deep passing offense that he's not going to be able to execute because he can't throw deep.
No.
But you know what he can RPOs, do? Throw Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
It's tunnel screens to Tyler Warren.
I'm in on Tyler Warren. I think he's this year's kind of discount Bowers.
I totally agree. People think Tyler Warren can block because he has long hair. And Jeremy Shockey and George Kittle have long hair. And he can't block. He's a receiver. Tyler Warren had he was the only player in the Power 5 conference last year in college football to have 100 catches. Like, he's a receiver. He had tied the most catches in a game of any tight end ever in the history of college football. Like, he's a crazy good receiver. And again, to your point, Daniel Jones, like, I mean, Dable, the shoestring and bubblegum, that Giants season that made the playoffs that screwed up the whole team. Like, it was so much tight ends to guys that didn't have talent. But I totally agree.
I also thought he should have gone first as the tight end. I know you like Loveland, but
I mean, I like
it's kind of crazy that he fell to 14. I remember looking at him for the Pats.
The second one you watched him in preseason, you were like, oh.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that the Colts are, every team has something like this, or a lot of teams do, where they haven't been able to fill a tight end for 10 years.
Yeah, and they've been platooning that forever.
It's kind of like, you know, maybe you like didn't.
It just makes sense. I can see him in the uniform. I can see him having big games.
The Colts are going to want a ton of competition. Like, there's no other real alpha.
Let's speed through the rest of these because we took way too long. We'll just go rapid fire. Missionary position. We've all had him. This is getting boring. It's not even exciting to see him in the lineup anymore, guy. For me, it's Kelsey.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's just like, all right. Oh, Kelsey did the thing where he had one catch for 10 yards and there's a red flag next to him. And should I start him next? Oh, now he has 7 catches for 90 again. Just not. Is there anybody else you would have?
Aaron Jones. I mean, I think he's a good player still, but he was banged up pretty much all last year. He's getting older.
They're talking about platooning him.
Yep.
I have Alvin Kamara. Just, you're going to turn him on and watch him, and then you're going to watch Spencer Rattler, quarterback. You're
just like, what am I doing? He's going to catch a pass on the side, you know, like a bubble screen or whatever, and just gain 1 yard.
Yeah, just be a 3-and-out machine. You're never going to see him.
Jared Goff does nothing for me anymore. I don't want Jared Goff on my team.
It makes you feel dead inside.
Yeah, just like he can't move. I know he's good.
I fell for the preseason hype. That guy, I had Jenty just because the hype is like, no, actually, you should pay $50+ for him. Mm-hmm. They're going to use him all the time. And I mentioned Hunter before, but those two, I think, we didn't really talk about Jenty, but it just seems like he's going to have the ball all the time. He wants the ball. Pete Carroll's going to give him the ball. And then the only other one I had there was Mahomes, just the Mahomes comeback. Better weapons.
There's not another Hall of
Fame. I'm not buying it.
There's not another Hall of Fame quarterback whose hype you bought? Maybe in the East Coast.
Well, I mean, his... What do you mean? Who?
Maybe up in...
Pittsburgh? Somewhere
Rust Belt?
Yeah. Didn't buy that one.
Aaron Rodgers?
Any other preseason hype guys you were...
I couldn't remember exactly how to define this category, whether it's like I fell for it.
I think that's part of the point. Is some of these categories are confusing intentionally.
Right. They're all Apex Mountain.
And so I put George Pickens, because I have fallen for the preseason hype with Pickens, and I don't know how it's going to go. I think Occam's razor is probably he's going to be off the team in week 7 or whatever. But like, I think he could also have 1,200 yards.
You haven't none of the Rodgers quotes about kind of the teammates.
I actually have the Rodgers.
None of it.
I have it blocked on my Google.
Okay. There's a lot of good stuff about him.
You should do your own research. That's the problem. Yeah.
I'm just saying. A lot of the young guys really like him. Mm. Good locker room guy.
Not like a hostage situation.
He's misunderstood.
Yeah.
Him and Tomlin, they really work.
Craig walked in one day and was like, Will Howard said, can't wait to learn from him. And we were like, what the fuck do you think Will Howard's going to say?
Why? Because he's a rookie?
Yeah.
You were like, yeah, they said nice things about him. I'm like, well, but what are they going
to
do?
This guy's
they're
a crank.
Going out of their way to like be truly effusive. You could be like, oh, yeah, it's been great. Skylar Thompson is like, this guy is completely misunderstood. All the receivers, all the linemen. He seems like he's very well-liked right now. That's all I'll say. These aren't my quotes. I'm reading them.
I don't know
what
plan B is for the conversation, though.
What do you mean?
Like, if we just added some new person and then somebody interviewed Danny Kelly and we're like, what do you think of the new producer, Johnny?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't
know.
We'd
be like, Johnny's been great.
Amazing.
You know,
amazing.
He's weird
thoughts on the pyramids.
Yeah.
Why aren't there quotes about how awesome Sam Darnold is? Everybody loves Sam Darnold. All the players are talking about how great he is. Why isn't there that?
Because Sam Darnold doesn't.
I think there has been those
not
quotes.
Paying attention.
Yeah. They have been talking about that.
It's almost like Sam Darnold's focused on winning the season instead of just talking about who built the
too
pyramids
busy
and whether,
winning.
Yeah.
He's not talking about that stuff right now. He's famous. People are interviewing him. He's not.
I don't know if there has been many.
This
Sam
is the
Darnold
first
quotes.
Topic since we've done a show where like younger Craig would punch current Craig in the face.
Oh. No, this is actually honestly a little sad.
Oh, stop.
No, it really is.
You know what's funny is Sean came on our pod and was like, Craig, you have to have a take. You can't be apathetic about this. You can't say like, eh, they'll probably win 8 games.
Because your take for a long time was like, this is their best of many
bad
options.
So if I have to pick a side, I'm going to be like, yeah, fuck yeah, we'll win 12 games.
December, Craig was like, I can't believe some team's going to talk themselves into Rodgers.
I still maintain that this was the best thing they could have done in this situation this year. I don't know what the alternative was.
I like when with Shiel, anybody brings up Rodgers to him and he just like, it's like this switch goes up.
I want
he's
him
like,
to be good
no
so
quarterback
bad.
Over 42 years old has ever played more than 10 games other than Tom Brady. Like, he's just, Shiel is the most out of anyone at the Ringer, I think.
He's 41.
I love that.
Is he going to be 42 during the season?
Towards the end of it, yes. What were they going to do? Give Sam Darnold $100 million? I'm good.
Hey, come on. What's with all the Sam Darnold?
What should they have done? Signed Kirk Cousins, who's not starting?
Shadora can of worms, but I don't understand.
Yeah, you could have had Jackson Dart.
Yeah, you could have had Jackson Dart.
That actually had never occurred
actually
to him
seems really
now.
Good.
Yeah, you're right. Right now, that Dart looks okay. Sure.
Looks okay. He's Heifetz has a jersey.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett looked really good.
I like how you went from throwing dimes to throwing darts.
Dude, and also you have two emojis you can use because you can use the dart, but also you can use cigarettes, which are all like all-time
both
emoji
elite.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Schrager, I mean, between DeVito with the thing, the Giants are cornering the market on like the emoji quarterback.
Schrager had the funniest Schrager monologue about dart, about he has it. He has it.
He does though.
You can see it. He has it.
He kind of does.
Yeah.
He does.
He has a little bit of aura.
He's come a long way from that Gruden video where Gruden's like, show me your snap count. And he's like, cool. And he just claps.
That's how I felt in our old studios when we had all the podcast interns and I met Craig. I was like, I told Fennessy.
Got it.
Craig has it. He has it. I can see it.
How do you start a podcast? I'm like.
Actually, we do that.
Yeah, we do.
Line up the audio.
Oh, this is... I think my favorite category. I'd never root for an injury.
Mm.
I would root for one. It's Breece Hall. I want him to get
God
hurt.
God damn it, Craig.
So Braylon Allen can get the football.
Let me live.
Yeah.
I'd never root for an injury, but he is one injury away guy. And we already talked about Breece Hall.
Yeah. Russell Wilson wouldn't mind a pulled hammy so we can see Dart.
I know.
Just saying.
I had Ray Davis down here.
Hmm.
Wow. There could be a really fun 7-week Ray Davis stretch. We don't want anyone to get hurt. But if the James Cook like has a little pulled hammy or something and Ray Davis comes in and he's just awesome.
Yeah.
I could see that one. I have to, just as a Pats fan, put Ramondre Stevenson on this thing.
I don't think he's going to get benched. I don't think he needed
more touches guy.
How do you feel about Ramondre? I still feel like he's a good running back.
The fumbles are just out of control.
Yeah, right.
I just can't handle the running backs that fumble. Just don't fumble. Hold on the ball.
Sure. Ramondre's an ex that in 2 years, he's not even going to remember the name. He's going to be like, who was there before? It's going to slip out of his memory.
Yeah. I don't know what the total number of running back fumbles, what the number is before you just completely lose confidence forever, but I'm there.
He's close. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like double digits in 2 years. Any other injury guys?
Dude.
Just lingering? You mentioned the Eagles.
Well, I mentioned Will Shipley, who probably the player who is the biggest ratio of how much people are talking about him, which is zero, to the importance he could have in the season, which if Saquon, you know, again, second most touches of the 21st century, if Saquon gets hurt, you're like, damn, Will Shipley, is he going to be the starting running back for the Philadelphia Eagles? And then if you want to say, oh, maybe it's not him, it's A.J. Dillon, fine. I haven't heard anyone talk about A.J. Dillon for the Eagles, but even if they split it, that's a crazy workload. The only other thing I'll say is I think Zach Charbonnet for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I don't even have to wish an injury on anyone. Ken Walker's just always hurt.
Hey, he's the other
Charbonnet. Yeah. He's the easiest person to see where if the Seahawks are good and it's what we think they'll be and they make the playoffs and he's the defense is awesome, they're going to run ice out and then Walker's hurt. And you're like, Charbonnet.
He's coming on Seahawks Island with us,
I am coming on Seahawks Island. But I just think basically if Charbonnet is the easiest player to envision joining that like top four group of like, oh, it's McCaffrey, Saquon, Gibbs, Bijan, Zach Charbonnet was fifth in the second half of the season with, but it's if Ken Walker's hurt, man, he's going to be so good in that system.
He has a fun running style. He will go out of his way to truck you. Like, he's one of those guys who will be like, I could go there or there and be open, or I could just run right through that guy in a good way, in a bad way.
It's
kind
the
of thing.
Trolley problem, but he chooses more people. He
totally runs over all the children.
I do have a random football question, though. Like, everyone's talking about Clint Kubiak's, like, the zone blocking. Mm-hmm. How good it is, and Gray Zabel's been amazing in his zone blocking scheme. So why don't more people do zone blocking schemes? Like, when did the Patriots do it last year? We had no fucking offensive linemen.
I can answer that. So the reason
is it super hard to figure out?
It's hard to teach. It's detail oriented. It's detail oriented to teach. It's a simple system for when you understand it. Players like it because they talk about feeling like a computer. Zero, one, C hit, and so they feel like I don't have to think. I can just execute, and so you become faster. So one, you need an organizational commitment to it because what you end up doing is basically
I didn't realize Heifetz would have such a great answer for this. Well, I was like going with a hypothetical.
Oh, I'm just making
this
all this is amazing.
You also have to have a quarterback who's willing to play under center.
Yeah, so you can't have Rodgers because you have to be able to do play action, turn your back to the defense. You can't have Rodgers doing the Ben Roethlisberger impression where everything's in shotgun. You can't do that. So you have to be under center, number
all right,
one.
Settle down.
But well, I'm just saying, you also need an organizational commitment to faster linemen. Look, the Niners line, I think when they started doing, and now it's more gap stuff too, but the Niners line was like the lightest line in the league. So you need a multi-year effort to draft the right
guys.
But the whole point, though, it sounds complicated. It's just to make cornerbacks tackle. The premise of this, when they started doing this with the Broncos, Mike Shanahan, Alex Gibbs, the whole point was, well, if you're going to have all these dots and Matt, make the one-on-one with the running back the worst tackler. That's a cornerback. So the whole point of wide zone
or the slot cornerback, any of those guys.
Well, that's why those guys are the most important guys in modern defense right now or the most underrated because that's where the front's. All of modern footballs right now is about the B gap, which is a whole different conversation. But the point to your question about why doesn't everyone just do it? Like, why don't you build the play into the black box? It's hard to teach. Matt Patricia tried to teach stuff and he's like, it's not that easy. Why can Kubiak do it? Well, his father fucking like invented it.
Yeah.
Like Gibbs, Shanahan, and Gary Kubiak.
It's like how I invented the three out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so his dad like invented the thing.
Well, I like it because it seems like it fucks teams up. And Gray Zabel just seems like he's just a wrecking ball.
Oh my God, he's looked so good. Yeah. I think it's
a lot of guard talk. Like he's replacing Quentin Nelson as the guard.
He might be. He's looked incredible in the preseason. I saw some stats. This is from Ian Hart. It's
guard talk.
Seahawks were like 30th in yards before contact per carry last year. And in the preseason, they're like fourth. Yeah. The run game has really been clicking.
Sam Darnold also to throw a backbreaking pick six in the fourth in week one. And everyone's like, fuck, he's Sam Darnold again.
I think the other thing to add to what Heifetz said about the zone game, and I get, Alex Gibbs said this back in the day, is like, you don't do other stuff. We're a zone team. And so I think some teams like to be more multiple than that. And it is a way to kind of protect your quarterback and not make him have to throw a backbreaking pick six or whatever. But yeah, they're going to like, run zone, bootleg, throw deep. It's going to be fun.
The next category is my rookie nitrous oxide guy. I'm not even sure what that one was, but it was just so we could have Xavier Worthy.
I didn't know what it was.
I don't know.
I just put the fast rookie.
Thornton on Vegas, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Deontay Thornton.
Yeah.
Thompson. Deontay Thompson.
All right. Last category.
Thornton.
Who seems like he's their number one receiver. I don't really
understand. He's going to be Valdez Scantling. Right. He's going to just stand there and run fast and he'll catch it.
I like those
Gino
guys.
Gino watches the ball.
By the way, great guy to have in Madden.
Thornton?
Like straight line guy.
Sure.
Are you playing Madden again?
Depends if my son... I beat him and it drives him crazy. And then he throws a tantrum even though he's 17 now. I only play if he wants to play. You never lose it once you have it. The remote.
Bike?
I'm just kidding. Last category. I know this is good value right now, but I simply don't want to root for him, guy. It was Aaron Rodgers for me last year. I don't know why anyone would draft Aaron Rodgers this year.
No, nobody's not getting drafted.
I'm going to put him in again.
Aaron Rodgers?
But the other person I want to put in is Breece Hall.
Hell yeah.
Because it helps with the Braylon Allen stock.
Absolutely.
Breece Hall really hurt my feelings last year. Yeah. Him and Trevor Lawrence, like, just ran a tag team on me.
I'm back like, in just on
the feelings hurt.
No, Breece has
I'm
no like, juice.
I'm zagging. I'm all in on Breece.
Even he's going twice. It's like a conspiracy theory.
I feel like you don't even think he's that good. You're just upset at how much we think he sucks.
Yes, correct.
He's your Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. He doesn't even hit the right holes in preseason.
Shut up. Of course he does. He's really good. No. He's a good player.
I'm with you on Rodgers. I don't want Rodgers.
We're talking about fantasy Steelers. Football. Who's drafting Aaron Rodgers in fantasy
football? No, the Steelers. You know why? My issue with Metcalf, Caleb Johnson, all these guys, it's the Roethlisberger Steelers again. So it's like a good value. I don't want to root for him. I don't want to watch Rodgers because, like, off the field, he's annoying. But on the field, we saw this thing with Rodgers. What he's doing now, it's the old Roethlisberger. He doesn't want to get hit. So everything's shotgun, and it ruins the offense. They can't run the ball because it's shotgun.
Everything's worse. Does not want to get hit.
Why am I getting attacked right now?
Doesn't want to get hit at all.
All right. The name of this category.
It's hard to watch.
The name of this category is, I know this is good value. So you're saying you know the Steelers are good value.
No. Oh, that's a good point. I don't know.
Why are we talking about this?
Okay, yeah. Fair. I guess more.
I just wanted to mention him anyway.
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to make you back into complimenting the Steelers. I'm like, it technically says, I know this is good value. So mine is the Saints wide receivers who, in theory, are being drafted super late. Chris Olave is good. Rashid Shaheed is good. But I'm like, I just, if it's Monday Night Football and it's like Saints Chargers and I need 20 points out of Chris Olave and I'm watching Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler, I just can't do any of that.
He's a D&D guy for me, Chris Olave.
Yeah. He's hard to
too many concussions. Yeah, like at some point it's not it's and it's stupid. Like,
if
not
anyone's
fun to
gonna be throwing hospital balls, it's right. Tyler Shuck and Rattler.
Yeah. Jesus. All right. This was fun.
Did we do 30 categories and not mention our favorite sleepers of the year?
Oh yeah, that was our last thing. Who's your favorite sleeper?
Well, I had him for Nitrous Oxide, so I just want to mention Matthew Golden for the Packers. I'm a huge fan of him, and I think that there's overlapping reasons why he's fallen through the cracks. But frankly, in a nutshell, most really fast guys don't have any touch or feel. Like, they're like Tyquan Thorntons. They're track runners. But Matthew Golden, to me, he has tempo. He has feel. He has really good hands. A lot of these fast guys can't catch for shit. You got to be like a DeSean Jackson. Like, you know, he's got a center fielder. I just think Matthew Golden has a lot of juice, frankly, but also feel. But then you go to the Packers, and I just think people think he's going to be a rotational player. I'm like, he's going to play for them, like, all the time. Three receiver sets. He's one of my favorite players to get.
Who's your sleeper?
Breece Hall.
Is he really your sleeper?
Grow up.
Grow up, Peter Pan. Breece
Hall ranked ahead of Jalen Hurts.
Anyway, Ricky Pearsall, I like. I think that one makes a lot of sense.
Is he even a sleeper? I feel like he's awake having coffee.
You want me to pick someone? You want me to pick someone like way, way down the list?
I feel
here?
Like people think he's their number one receiver.
Yeah, but he's still not. You mean drafted highly.
He's been shot in a year. Like, he's got to be healthy from that, right? That was unbelievable that he played after he got shot.
He was lucky to survive. He was shot in the chest. Right. He was lucky to survive.
I'll give you a different one. Dameon Pierce, running back for the Texans. Hmm. Because
under the category of somebody on this team has to get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
And he also has a 1,000-yard season on his resume. I thought he was really good coming out of Florida. He just wasn't a good fit for the wide zone scheme that they ran last year. Basically just was a forgotten man. And I think now they're switching to more gap stuff, a little bit better for him. And it sounds like Mixon is not back anytime soon. So I'll throw that out there.
Who's yours?
I think it's Tank Bigsby, the running back on Jacksonville.
Like him.
Yeah, I think what Liam Cohen did for Bucky Irving in Tampa, I think Liam Cohen could do for Tank in Jacksonville. I think he's kind of much more similar to Bucky Irving. What Liam Cohen did to the Bucks running game last year was pretty incredible. And Bucky Irving, his like whole thing is yards after contact. He was the best in the league last year at it. Number two is Tank. So I kind of think they have similar profiles.
I have from the College of Holy Cross, but that's not why I'm taking him on the Carolina Panthers, Jalen Coker.
Okay. You're Cokehead?
He's great. Yeah.
So I was really invested in him because he was a Holy Cross guy who's actually like doing stuff. Yeah. Like, it's not like we have a lot of football players. He's good.
He is good.
He has a significantly longer career than Xavier Legette, who they took in the first round.
He was making big plays for them. He was open. Bryce Young trusted him.
Yeah.
And now I think people just think it's going to be Tet McMillan's team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had the most receiving yards on the Panthers.
That's a good one.
I think the Panthers just kind of have like a nice cast of guys now. Everybody does a thing. Like, I think Legette as a number two makes way more sense. McMillan is like your classic number one who can get a ton of targets. Coker's like the speedy guy doing a bunch. I just think they kind of are filling out a
Chuba
nice
Hubbard is
yeah Chuba Hubbard's RB4 good. The offensive line's draft. Not bad. Year two with Dave Canales.
Yeah, and I was too harsh on Bryce because I did think he had some good moments. I just thought it was notable that Richardson's just out of football now.
But they're not the same.
I know they're not the
Richardson's
same.
Like
at least Bryce's arrow was pointing up by quite the end of
literally.
Last
Anthony Richardson's completion percentage is lower than Shaq's free throw rate.
Yeah, I think it's just like the difference.
He's inaccurate.
The difference is you can, as a coach, you can trust this guy to run the offense you want to run more than, like, that's why they want Daniel Jones. It's like, I just trust this guy to run the offense.
Yeah.
Not, Bryce, you know, whatever.
Well, what did we Bryce call Richardson? Ed 209?
Right.
From RoboCop.
In RoboCop. Yeah.
He can't go down the stairs.
He can't get in a car.
He literally can't go downstairs.
Bryce had moments, but man, he seems so small in some of these games. That's the thing you can't, like, when you're watching all the TVs and you see the different quarterbacks and then you see him and he just seems...
Well, that's why they got a McMillan. He's so tall, I can see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Guys, this was great. When's our big draft? Monday.
1 o'clock.
It's going to be on the Ringer Fantasy Football YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. 1 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of Ringer people that people recognize.
Yeah,
we're all going head to head. There's going to be punishments that we talked about on your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite, what was the one I came up with? The tweet one?
Rage bait.
Go listen to that if you want to know what
that is. Go listen to that. I had the punishment idea of one tweet each week, Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Written by everyone else.
Almost like the Colin Jost, Michael Che thing where you're writing the weekend update joke for somebody else. And it's just like a tweet that will make
people
mad.
The funniest thing is that it would be the worst for you because you have like 5 million followers. Like, yeah. You have the most to lose.
Yeah, dude, I probably is.
He didn't think it occurred to me would lose till just now.
Yeah, but he also enjoys tweeting rage bait stuff more.
I'm not going to finish last though.
I want to ask
Van Lathan's in the week. He's going to finish last.
What pick do you want? We're doing Snake. There's 10 teams. What's your ideal pick? Because we're going to do a trivia question to determine the pick.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I usually like being near the back so you can get basically like four of the top like 32, 33 range.
I think this is a good year actually to be towards the back of the draft.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't be psyched about any of those running backs. We didn't even talk about Bijan, but like, I don't know. Bijan's good, but I don't want to spend $60 on him in a fantasy league. Like,
you're probably going to want to do that.
Well, this is great. You can have this.
Yeah. All right. Go on.
I don't know.
Do you have anything else to add?
Do I have to?
You don't have to do anything, but he's like, he's going to blow your fucking mind.
Like, for how good he is, he's not that famous. He doesn't have that Saquon, like, electricity where everyone wants to play him in Madden. He's like the biggest freak I've ever seen, even though he is. But he doesn't really have that.
I think it's a combo of the Falcons. And then also, it's weird that he wants to be an actor. But I will say, Saquon himself said, like, a month ago that the best player at making people miss the NFL is Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, he's so...
I'm looking at my future, and it's going to be a future of starting running backs. Travion Henderson, Braylon Allen, and Kenneth Walker. Some sort of running back platoon. And everyone will have a flag next to them at some point. Mm-hmm. And I'll wonder why I didn't spend more money on
running
backs.
RJ Harvey, are you in on him? I am.
A little bit in on him. We didn't really talk about the Broncos at all.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Unfortunately, with the Broncos, like a month ago, it was like cool to be like, I actually think the Broncos could be.
I know.
Now everybody's.
Sucks. I have so much money in them too. It's like, and now they're the sexy contender team.
I can't wait for him to spend $22 on Braylon Allen in this draft. And then we're going to be tweeting from his profile.
Well,
just
this
like,
is Booger draft, though. The Yahoo draft, though, that's the Booger Eater. I'll just take him in like the 8th round.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right after I take no punishment in the 7th round.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you'll have to go listen.
Yeah, listen. Thanks. All right. Thank you, guys. Good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks to Gahau and Eduardo as well. And I'm going to be back on Sunday with a brand new pod. And then episode 399 of the Rewatchables, Witness. Mm-hmm. You weren't there for that one.
No, I actually haven't watched it yet, but I will watch it.
I think you really would have liked it.
I can't believe I haven't seen it for how much I love
Harrison Ford. It's like an incredible Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mallory, it was just the two of us, and
I can't imagine.
Lines were crossed.
Yeah. I assume.
Lines were crossed.
In case you were wondering, they were. Lines were crossed. Good to see you guys, though.
Thanks, Phil.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. For Kansas, an affiliation with Kansas Star Casino or 18 plus and present in D.C.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelpline.ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.